and we're going to get started. Man, what a beginning. I'm sure as you guys can all tell, there are a lot of people on the line tonight, which is great. It's an honor for John and I that you guys came out to hear us tonight for our customer appreciation and subscriber appreciation teleconference. Let me give you a little bit of background about why we're on this call tonight. John and I were scheduled to have dinner tonight with one of our all-time heroes, the legendary direct response king, Gary Halbert, who lives in Miami. Unfortunately, at the last minute, Gary canceled due to an illness that his personal assistant is having in her family. Her father has cancer, and the situation has turned unexpectedly for the worse within the last 24 hours, and he's spending his time with her, as they've had a close relationship for a number of years. So we decided that, hey, since we're together, I'm in John's house now, we might as well make the absolute best of the situation and hold this teleconference and get together with you guys and give some presentation on some things that we've seen happening on the Internet and also answer some of your questions. And speaking of your questions, we had no idea the kind of response that we were going to get tonight. It was absolutely overwhelming. We're still getting questions in right now. As a matter of fact, John had to call a system administrator to make more room on his server. Fortunately, he's got a guy that knows how to do all that kind of stuff. So as questions are coming in, we're going to answer as many as we can, and we're also going to talk to you about some things that are happening online right now that are concerning us that we think can be sidestepped, and we think that knowing the right and wrong ways to approach some certain situations can help everyone have a more profitable, a more fun, and a more successful business. So with that, I'd like to introduce my good friend, John Reese.
Hey, Frank. Thanks.
And right now we're going to talk about the major mistakes of Internet marketing and how to fix them. John and I have been having a pretty much a 24-hour conversation about Internet marketing, which is basically what we do every time we're together, since we're so passionate about this stuff, and we've identified some problem areas and some mistakes that we have made personally, and we see our friends and customers and subscribers making a lot, actually quite frequently. And the first one is something we'd like to address. Right now, it seems more than ever, there is an insurgence of what I'll call product inbreeding on the Internet. And John, I'm going to let you explain a little bit about product inbreeding and what that's all about.
Well, Frank, that's basically what's going on online with a lot of people just selling the same products over and over, you know, people buying reprint rights to a lot of the different ebooks that are out there. And although that's a really good way for some people to get their feet wet with just having anything to market online, it creates a real problem because you end up having thousands of people that are trying to sell the same products. And one of the other things that we're going to get into real quick here in a second is the big problem where everyone thinks, you know, the only place to make money is selling people products on how to make money online, which is the biggest fallacy of all. We'll get into that in a minute. But this thing about product inbreeding, it's just all these just the same products being regurgitated over and over again. You know, the same types of ebooks that the same people, you know, the same groups of people are getting the rights to and then just selling them. So let's just dispel a few myths right here in the beginning, and that is that the myth being that you can make a lot of money with reprint rights. If you have an existing business, if you have a large list, if you have an existing marketing channel to sell your own products, you can supplement your income, supplement your revenue, make more money by adding some of these, you know, some products that you license or buy the rights to then offer them to your customers. However, with that being said, I'm willing to say that in almost every possible case, you're never going to build, and let me repeat that, you're never going to build a very substantial business if your only products are reprint right products. In other words, if you just have, you know, the rights to some ebooks that you're allowed to sell. The whole key to making a lot of money online and a lot of money in business in general is the term of differentiation, and you know, a lot of people have heard the, you know, the phrase before of having a USP or a unique selling proposition. In other words, what makes you different from other people? Why should people buy from you and not from someone else? Well, online, the internet can often be a smaller world than it seems to be, depending on what market you go into. So it's very important that what you do online in order to have, you know, great success and to build and grow a business over time. In other words, if you're in this to make long-term income, not just a quick buck, which pretty much is impossible anyway, so you can forget about making a quick buck, but if you're in this to make a good living over the long term, then you need to build and grow a business. And really, one of the only ways to really build and grow a substantial business is to have your own products. Yes, you can make a lot of money with affiliate marketing, and we're going to talk more about affiliate marketing tonight on the call, and I've made quite a bit of money with affiliate marketing, and so has Frank, and so have a lot of other marketers, but it's really hard to do a lot of things unless you have your own unique products. So the first, you know, question, myth, whatever you want to call it, that we just raised here about this product inbreeding is the major problem is, you know, so many people are trying to sell the same products online, and it's just a big problem because unless you stand out from the crowd, unless you are different, that's really working against you. And in most cases, that's going to keep you from being able to succeed.
Let's talk about ways to fix that problem now, because I'm sure you've experienced the same thing where you'll have customers or subscribers who absolutely love the notions of owning reprint rights and selling products they have reprint rights to. I know personally I've had exceptionally good luck selling products with reprint rights, and I'd really like to emphasize the phrase luck in that. I think when I started by selling products with reprint rights, which was 2 years ago, it was before the market had become absolutely totally saturated. It seems like every other week you get a new email blast from someone saying, here's my new $17 ebook, and you can get free reprint rights to it as well. And it's all well and good, but as John just said, it's not a good way to build a long-term substantial business or anything like that. So let's talk about a way that maybe you could make this whole thing into a positive. And again, I don't think this should be its own leg to stand on, like your entire business model, but if you are absolutely married to the idea of reprint rights, you have to repackage what you have the rights to in order to differentiate from the crowd. For example, if you have reprint rights to 27 different ebooks about gardening, instead of having a website where you're selling all 27 different ebooks about gardening, and people can pay $17 for each ebook as well, you rename that entire package of 27 ebooks Insider Gardening Secrets or whatever, and I just made that up off the top of my head, as you could probably obviously tell from the title, and you give it one price. And you call it one product, and you give it one price. So now you're differentiating. Instead of, oh, here's another guy selling the same old thing, you put a new slant on it. And believe it or not, sometimes you can experience better results in marketing simply by repackaging stuff. Another way that you can use products with reprint rights absolutely and unquestioningly to your benefit is to use them as premiums and use them as bribes to draw people magnetically to your main offer. And here's what I mean. Let's say your main offer is a physical product, and we're going to get really into physical products tonight, but let's say your main offer is a physical product about gardening, and you want to sell that thing about gardening, but your sales cycle might be a little long, meaning you might get one out of every 300 people who visits your site, they might buy that right now. And perhaps you're not the best copywriter, and you're not the best overall direct response marketer, and if you're not, believe me, you know, we have struggled with that too, as everyone has. One way you can increase your profitability is to take those same 27 ebooks about gardening that I just mentioned to you and offer them as free bribes to get people to come to your site. In other words, instead of sending them to your main homepage and instead of advertising your big gardening course that you sell, advertise one, two, or all of the 27 ebooks as a premium in exchange for that person giving you their contact information. That way, you're going to have an opt-in. You're going to accomplish two things. You're going to drive traffic to your site. You're going to get someone to opt into your list and to take notice of you, and you're also going to gain their trust, and you're going to become, in their minds, more of a trusted friend and advisor because, hey, here's this person that gave me something useful instead of being someone that's just got their hand out for a dollar. And where John and I both learned this tactic is really from Dan Kennedy in his magnetic marketing course, which if you don't have, I strongly recommend you get. We don't sell it, and like we had explained earlier, this call is not a pitch call, but I believe you could probably just go to dankennedy.com and pick up that course. So that's major mistake number one, product inbreeding. Everybody's selling the same stuff. The way to fix it, if you're dead set on selling the same things everyone is, again, repackage it with a new title and a new offer, or use the stuff as premiums to get people to opt into your page, or rather to opt into your sales cycle or your sales funnel. And this leads us into major mistake number two that we're seeing people making. And believe us, we're not coming at you on some ivory tower or anything like that. We've also made these same mistakes many times, which is probably why we're so familiar with them. But the second major mistake we're seeing right now is duplicated ads. And I like to call this marketing incest. And that was a little bit non-PG for John's taste, but it's really what it is. I mean, if you think about inbreeding, the end result of inbreeding is stupidity, right? You have all these jokes about people that live in the mountains and, you know, their children are completely, you know, deadheaded because of all the inbreeding or whatever. Well, the same thing happens in our marketing. If one guy copies the other guy, who copies the girl next door, who copies the person who copied this person, it's more people doing the same stuff over and over again, and none of it's ever been established as being reliable. And we see this a lot in internet marketing right now, especially in the internet marketing field. That is, the group of people who are selling information on how to make money. For example, emails in all caps. Emails that make outrageous claims. I mean, how many times have you people who are listening to this right now, maybe within the past 24 hours, received an email from somebody with the greatest money-making offer you'll ever see in your life? You know, how many times within the past 7 days have you received a promotion that says, this program is the hottest program on the internet? You can probably count it, you know, immediately. You'll probably use up all your fingers and all your toes trying to count the times that you've received or seen an ad similar to that. It's just like other industries, kind of like all car dealer ads look the same, right? If you watch TV and you see ads for car dealers, they all say the same two things. We have a bunch of inventory and the lowest prices in town. So if you want to stand out and you want to get noticed, don't sound like everybody else. Make an ad specifically for your market. For example, if you're selling weight loss and you got 400 million other people selling weight loss and you're selling the same weight loss product that they are, you can be weight loss for nurses now. Have affinity. That's one very, very powerful way to have a message to market match, meaning to have great communication with your prospects. If you're a nurse, make your product weight loss for nurses. Weight loss is weight loss, right? I mean, there's no special way for nurses to lose weight as opposed to plumbers or candlestick makers or anything else. But that nurse is going to say, wow, this is just for me. This person is just like me. I'm going to go with them because they have affinity with me. John, is there anything you'd like to add on there?
Yeah, no. This question, I mean, this whole topic of about everyone using the same ads for, I mean, as people are going to experience that in this call, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. We're going to go all over the place. So it's there's no organization to our thinking, pretty much. So we went from products, now we're in affiliate marketing, and we'll probably go around the block and back again quite a few times. But so, this is a great point about, you know, a lot of people using the same advertising, and it's not just in internet marketing. I've been online since 1990 and actively marketing affiliate programs since about 95, 96 when the very first ones on the internet came out. And I've done a lot of affiliate marketing in niche markets, nothing to do with internet marketing. And even though it's a great example in the internet marketing space, because that's where we see most of the duplication done by marketers to promote some of the same programs, on a smaller level, the same things happen in niche markets with affiliate programs. You know, if anyone's a member of Commission Junction, which is CJ.com, where you can go and find all kinds of affiliate programs, and use the ads that they give you. The same problems happen when you just use the ads that they give you to use. And that is, again, it kind of goes back to the whole thing about having your own unique product, having your own USP, and that is differentiation. If you're using the same ads that everyone else is using, you know, you don't stand out from the crowd, and people are less likely to buy from you. Here's something really important I just want to say about, you know, affiliate marketing and effective affiliate marketing, and, you know, not to have any kind of ego about it or to toot my own horn or anything, but I've been a super affiliate for almost every program I've ever been involved with, and that's because the fundamentals I use to promote affiliate programs, you know, have been the same, but it was only because I learned the right way to do it, And one of the most powerful things involved with affiliate marketing in order to, you know, sell a lot of other people's products is what I call the power of the pre-sell. And that's how important pre-selling actually is before you actually send someone, before someone actually visits the website of the product that you're promoting. So it's just a good example. If you have an e-zine or you have an autoresponder sequence and you're promoting an affiliate product where you're trying to get them to click on a link to get them to go to a site, the rate at which people will buy that product, actually click through and then actually buy that product, has to do with how powerful your pre-sell is, how effectively you pre-sell the product. In other words, how good your recommendation is or how strong of a job you do in convincing someone way before they even get to the site to learn more about the product and how they can buy it. So this goes right in with the duplicate ads problem. If you're using the same ads everyone else is using, it's all blah, blah, blah. Everyone has seen it before. But so a few things you can do to correct this. When you make a recommendation for a product, or like one of the most powerful ways to sell affiliate products is to do like a personal review. You know, it's kind of like doing a movie review, but it's a product review, almost like a book report or something. And, you know, to be successful selling affiliate products, the first thing you need to do is buy them. If you don't actually own a product that you're trying to promote, you know, your chance of success, you know, is very, very small, because without owning the product and really being able to get into the benefits of the product and why it will even benefit, you know, your email subscribers or even your existing customers, you know, so you have to own the product. So that's step one. Own the products that you plan on making any money from promoting. And once you own them, you know, whoever you're trying to market them to, in other words, whoever you're trying to do a mailing to, let's say, to pre-sell this thing, to get people to go to the site to buy it for themselves, you need to tell them how you were affected by the product, what it did for you, how you benefited as an end user for the product, and why you think they need to buy it for themselves. You know, sticking with this gardening example that Frank used a minute ago in the gardening niche, if there's some new ebook that comes out on, 12 ways to rapidly grow, you know, carrots in your garden, you know, if you're a gardener yourself, which you should be, you stand to have the most success if you already are, and you're already dealing with those types of people, so you really know what your prospects and customers want. You know, then, of course, as in my example, you should have bought the product, tried out the techniques, and got something out of it. So then you can then say, hey, look, I bought this product. I did accelerate the growth of my carrots in my garden. You know, they're the biggest carrots I've ever seen in my life. You really should buy this product and put the techniques to use. That kind of pre-selling is incredibly powerful. You know, I've experienced conversion rates on affiliate products of, 20 and 30% sometimes of people that click through, because they almost don't even need to read the sales letter on the site when they get there. I've already sold them. So if you think you can just blast out a duplicate ad that everyone else has, that's not going to be very effective in pre-selling them before they get to the site. So just to finish up on this fact of the duplicate ads thing, that's why you always want to, in every case, unless you're lazy, and me and Frank are two of the laziest money-making marketers you'll ever see in your life, so we're just as guilty of it. A lot of times we will just send out an offer that somebody wants us to send out, you know, without rewriting it. But if we really get smart about it, and if we really do things the right way and have time to do it the right way, like you should in your marketing, you want to take time to rewrite that in such a way that it pre-sells the products that you're promoting. So your subscribers, the relationship you have with whoever it is you're marketing it to, really can get the most out of what your opinion is on it and why they should buy it.
You know, why don't we share the secret strategy that you and I have both had exceptional success with, or exceptional success using, to promote other people's service-related products, not necessarily books, but service-related products, and that is actually teaching people how to use the very product we're recommending and literally showing them how to obtain that product. And you've done this with some auction software successfully to your auction products buyers, and I've done this with hosting and with other services.
Right, and just to interject real quick here, and don't mean to cut you off, Frank, but the other power of that whole process, and that's great that you brought that up and that we're going to teach people that, the power behind that is it's proof that you own the product or have used it. You're not just a me-too guy saying, yeah, you should buy this, because most people online know that you're getting paid, you know, and that's why you're promoting it. So the reason why that is so powerful, it's because it's substantial proof that you have used the product. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, what I was going to do is I was going to tell folks what we've been doing with great success, and that is actually making screen capture videos where we teach people how to use a certain product. And I've literally blindly and luckily stumbled upon this method when I made videos that taught people how to get a website hosting account set up. And all I did was I used simple software, which you can try out for free for 30 days. It's called Camtasia. You can download the free trial at their website, which is techsmith.com. That's TechSmith.com. I don't have any stake in that business. I have nothing to gain by referring you to them. There's no ulterior motive. It's simply good software that I personally use. I'm not an affiliate for them. What happened was I was getting a lot of technical support questions from my customers asking me how to do things like buy a domain name, upload web pages, get a web hosting account. And I was literally typing out the same answer 20, 30 times a day. I didn't have sense enough to cut and paste back then. I literally did type out the exact same answer, embarrassingly enough. And what I finally did is I said, you know, I'm going to just make a video. I'm going to use the software. I'm going to make a video and just show people how to do it and say, you know what, I've made a video for you here. Watch this. So what I did is I made a video that showed people how to register a domain and how to set up a website hosting account with the company that I used. Now, here's what's amazing. I never said, you know, I never knew or had any inkling of an idea that this would generate revenue for me. The company that hosted my website, the company that I recommended, did not even have an affiliate program. They did not have any idea that I was going to make these videos. This was in no way pre-planned. To make a long story short, tons, thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the place watched these videos. They all went to the hosting company that I recommended and still recommend. They're great guys, pagematic.com. And they got hosting accounts. And in the little form where they signed up to order their hosting accounts, Pagematic had on their order form, how did you find out about it? And people would write in Frank Kern videos, which I thought was all well and good. One day I get a phone call from the owner of Pagematic, called me personally and said, what's your address? We're going to start sending you money for all this business you're referring to us. I had absolutely no idea what was happening. Make a long story short, I referred well over 3,000 hosting accounts with them, each person spending a minimum of $12.50 a month for a website. They shared some of that revenue with me, and the hosting volume was so great that they maintained and still have a significant amount of clients that I sent to them. They maintained a steady database and a steady client base of 3,000 clients a month, and this is accounting for the drop-off. So it's an extremely powerful tool. I did the exact same thing with an autoresponder service that I own called Hot Responders. Made videos, showed people how to use it, and gave those videos away. They're downloadable. It's no big deal. It only takes a few minutes to make them. You don't have to have any technical savvy. Trust me, I certainly don't, as any of you folks that know me personally can attest to. And that worked well. I recently had over 5,000 people download new videos that I've made that show how to use another autoresponder service that I own called SalesAutomator.com. So it's gone over really well. And, John, you've also had success in doing the affiliate pre-sell with some auction-related software. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it goes right along with what you're saying. I recently promoted a piece of software that I found and was using in my own efforts to make money with some auction stuff, and I thought it was a really powerful tool. So I was a firm believer in the product, so I own the Camtasia product that you talked about. So I cranked up Camtasia, turned on the software, started to use it, started to record what was on my computer screen, and hooked up my microphone. So as I started to use the software and basically just demonstrated what it could do and what the benefits were and the benefits that I get out of it for myself, and how it's beneficial for me personally to own, and why I recommend that other people use it. And it was very, very powerful. And I've done it with more than one software product, not just that's a good example for that market. And it works really well. I mean, let's face it, if people are going to, you know, it's like buying a car. Do you go and buy a car without test driving? No, you get in it, you drive it first, everything else. Well, you know, products. What do you think works so well for Amazon.com and why they sell so many books that they do online? You know, well, people go to their site. They're surfing around different categories. They look at books maybe that other people have suggested. But they usually end up reading reviews about them from other users or excerpts from the product itself, which is almost like test driving the product. So if you want to make big money promoting other products, you got to get creative. You got to do things that other people aren't doing. It's so funny, Frank, you and I were laughing about this yesterday, and everybody should know, ever since Frank got here yesterday at my house, we've just been sitting around, with our brains on fire, just going back and forth, just talking about all this marketing stuff because we're so passionate about it. And we were joking about it yesterday, and I was saying, the biggest key to success in marketing, direct marketing or internet marketing, is the secret four-letter formula. And that four-letter formula is W-O-R-K. And it spells the word work. The key to making a lot of money is just to be willing to do a little bit extra work more than everyone else. So this goes in with a lot of stuff. Having your own unique products that no one else has, doing a little bit more work to write your own ads, in this case of the duplicate ads thing, having your own unique pre-sell for products that other affiliates don't. And, I mean, people constantly ask me, like some affiliate managers will ask me, John, like, how are you selling so much of my product, when other affiliates aren't? And I hope you don't mind sharing it with me, because I would like to share it with some of the other affiliates, so we can properly train them, because apparently you figured it out and you're doing a better job of it. And that's basically what I tell them. And I say, well, it's not enough for you to make a bunch of sample ads for people to use. People often need to get creative, and create unique pre-sell offers related to the relationships they have with their own customers and their own subscribers, in the case of, sending out something to an easy list or to an autoresponder list. So yeah, like that's really powerful, that little secret effect that you and I both put together with doing screen cam videos to demonstrate products.
Let's talk about another secret method that you came up with as my...
No, I don't wish to talk about that one. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Never mind.
These people don't realize how lucky they are. The mood that they got us in, that we were just rambling back and forth about this stuff. We're like, It's disappointing that we don't get to hang out with Gary tonight, but let's just get on the phone and just ramble about some really good stuff that people can really honestly benefit from and go and apply, tomorrow and start making money with. So go ahead. What's the secret that you want to talk about? I feel like there are so many secrets and all these techniques that other people don't use. I can't keep them straight. So which one are you talking about?
Well, I was going to tell people about the time you robbed that bank. No. It was the thing that we did when you were my affiliate for Info Millionaire.
Okay, great.
We had an incredible luck with that. I mean, it did way better than I had expected. And I'll lay some groundwork, guys. The last time I was here visiting John, he comes up with this insane idea at like 4 in the morning after we had just, had 8,000 Diet Cokes and were just rambling on and on about marketing stuff. And that was, he was going to interview me about my product, Info Millionaire, which is a course which currently, while we're recording this call, is not available for sale. Sorry, definitely not a blatant plug there, right? But basically, Info Millionaire was a course which would teach people how to create businesses that served markets passionate about certain types of information. John's list that he was going to sell this to as an affiliate was a list of people who buy eBay videos, because John's got an extremely cool auction video. I'm not even into auctions, and I'm fascinated by the video because it's simply such a powerful thing that's really overlooked, which is eBay. We could ramble on about that for hours if we want. But what John did was he approached it from the mindset of one of his viewers, or rather one of his readers, which was, hey, I'm into eBay, you're making all this crazy talk about selling information on the internet, I'm a little bit skeptical, and I don't buy it, tell me how it works. And you want to go ahead and elaborate on some of our numbers and how well that worked for us?
Yeah, sure. Basically what the idea was, the crazy idea was, it's not enough to sometimes just email a promotion about a product to try to sell it and say, hey, this is the greatest thing ever, you should go check this out, even if it is. And even if you can list a lot of the benefits in your pre-sell in whatever you mail to people to get them to go check out a product, You know, sometimes that's not enough for people, you know, either. So I did the normal promotion. I did send an email out to promote the product. I did sell quite a few. A text email or write-up that I personally did about the product, because I got a hold of the product, I checked it out, I really liked it, and I said, Frank, I can do really well selling this for you, I think, so let me take a shot at it. Even to a group of people that were more interested like in eBay auction stuff, which is kind of lowest common denominator way, excuse me, of making money online. It's a lot less sophisticated than some other people on this call that have their own websites and their own products and are really into advanced internet marketing stuff. But anyway, so I was like, you know what, let me try to dumb it down, so to speak, to where I can make it so easy for these people to understand why there's a lot of benefit to it for them to, you know, leverage their business to maybe have another income stream, to have their own, like, little niche information product. So what I did was I did the normal write-up and sent out an email to promote the product, like everyone normally does, of course, but mine was unique. Mine wasn't the same stock letter that everyone else sends out, just a copy, so I wrote my own. So that's step one, which we had talked about a little while ago and on the Duke Cadet thing. And it did pretty well. It sold quite a few. So I was like, hey, I want to, you know, do a follow-up on this. And by the way, I want to talk about that in a minute, about doing follow-ups. That's another thing. Actually, let me just say it real quick. One of the biggest mistakes affiliate marketers make is not, like, if you have a list and you send out a promotion to your list for a product, you know, and it sells, well, by all means, follow up and send another email about the product about a week later. Here's my philosophy. I continue to promote things until they stop making money. It's not the other way around. I don't just assume that they won't make any money or it won't be worth my time. And Frank, you and I joked about this. Again, this is a roller coaster call. We're going all over the place. But you and I joked about this, you know, while you've been here, and it was I think it's very important for us to bring up just real quick, and then I'll go into the secret technique of the interview. I'm not getting too off base here, but the fact about direct response marketing and the fact about no matter what your business is, no matter what kind of idea you have, no matter what you're thinking about, you know, we kind of raised this question again. This came up again because of all the questions we're getting, but it's about, you know, the bottom line is you just have to test it and see how it works. It's not enough for you to assume something will or won't do something. In direct marketing, direct response marketing particularly, it's the only thing that matter are the results. The what-ifs, the maybes, the could-haves, the should-haves, the might-haves, those won't pay your rent. The only thing that pay your bills are true results. So when you promote something, if it does pretty well, by all means, continue to promote it. Send a follow-up 7 days later. Send another mailing 7 days later after that. Continue to do it as long as enough sales to make you happy keep coming in from it. Don't just assume that people, just because they're on your list and have already heard about the product, won't buy it again. In fact, I'm willing to state right here and now, it's 100% guaranteed, I'd put my name on it, that if you do a mailing of any kind to any list online for any product that sells, in other words, if you promote an affiliate product and it sells, you will make another group of sales if you do a follow-up mailing. Obviously, if you only made one sale, then you may not make another sale, but if you promote anything and make, I would say, at least 7 to 8 to 10 sales, a follow-up mailing 7 days later just saying, hey, I recently told you about such and such product, you can expect about 40 to 70% of the amount of sales you made on that first mailing, if you do it properly. And oftentimes I'll promote things, I'll do 4, 5, and 6 mailings on the same product. I will continue to follow up because people will continue to buy it. You've probably heard it before. A lot of people need to be exposed to marketing materials about products multiple times before they buy. And that's the whole science and power and value in follow-ups. And that's why sequential autoresponders work so well. Anyways, so can you agree with that, Frank? We were talking about the results and testing, and all that matters is the testing.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything is theory until there's numbers behind it. You know, and it doesn't matter who's telling you what. I mean, if you go to an internet marketing forum and say, hey, everybody, please review my website, which A, you should not do, unless it's like a paid forum and you have real people on there that do this hardcore for a living. I mean, so many people waste time on beginners forums and get a bunch of beginners to review their website and, you know, you're getting unqualified advice. But that's all any advice really is, ever, and unless it's tested. I'm not saying don't listen to everybody and, you know, everyone is full of crap, but all advice is theory until it's been tested and proven by numbers. So we have, which ties back in before the attention deficit disorder kicked in here, it ties back into, we had this theory last time we were together down here, which was, hey, you know, the initial email to promote InfoMillionaire did pretty well. What if I interview Frank?
Right, I'll continue that. I'll tell what it was.
Yeah. And, you know,
but my point was, what came about for, you know, why this idea came about to do this interview thing is because it did so well from just the normal emailing, I was like, hey, I'm going to follow up. But some other power in following up, other ways to follow up that are more powerful or can do, you know, can also sell, in other words, are delivering basically marketing in other modes or other formats. In other words, I'm kind of stammering here. I've just got so much on my head that I got to think about that I want to talk about tonight. But in other words, you know, sending an email promotion, an email write-up, a review about, you know, product, that's one thing. That's great. Some people will respond to that. But if you send audio about that product, like a Camtasia demo or just you talking on an audio, that will affect certain people in such a way that maybe wouldn't have bought it just by reading about it. So anyways, so I said, okay, Frank, I'm going to interview you about your product because I had some of my readers asking me questions going, is this for real, you know, is it possible really to make this kind of money online with niche information products, you know, or is this just a bunch of crap? And I, you know, I had to keep replying to people saying, no, this is, you know, Frank's the real deal, and he's a good guy, and he's teaching people stuff that works. He's practicing what he's preaching as well. He's got tons of these little businesses himself, and I've had some experience doing as well. So after going through all this, I was like, okay, Frank, I'm going to interview you. And I'm basically just going to say, you know, I'm going to be straight up with you on the call. I'm going to say, my readers have questions. You know, there's so much make money stuff on the internet. You know, so much of it's a scam. What makes this any differently? You know, and I asked Frank some tough questions. I put him on the spot. You know, and there might be a few people on this call that actually got to hear that little interview, but it worked really, really well. And after we did the phone interview, I edited it and sent it to a techie guy that, because I don't know how to do it. Anyways, I paid someone to create a little flash presentation, so it showed our pictures while it played the audio. It was pretty. It was kind of, I consider it like poor man's video. But it gave people something to look at on the page while they listened. And it kind of blinked around our pictures whenever somebody was talking. But the interview was a, you know, basically my promotion for his product to my list. You know, and that's something, things like that are things that, like, not many people out there anywhere on the internet are really doing for affiliate marketing. And, oh, you want me to share some numbers on that, Frank?
Yeah, I was about to say, if you don't mind.
I forget all the exact, that was quite a while ago, but I think it earned me my end of just the commissions, just as I was one of your normal affiliates, you know, something like $10,000 in like 6 weeks or something. I mean, it was okay.
Isn't that big, and it's not even highly targeted.
You know, it was worth getting on the phone for 15 minutes and paying somebody, you know, $100 to make that thing. You know,
it was astounding.
But the point is, you know, even if it only did, you know, 10 or 15% of that, it was well worth it. It didn't have to be, you know, such a home run like it was. But the point is, why did it work so well? Well, I was willing to do a little extra work that other people weren't. So my promotion for it was completely different.
And we didn't sit around and say, well, what if it doesn't work, and what if we don't sound good on the phone, and what if it's not perfect and technically, I mean, we just, you know, I mean, we didn't even have like a script or anything. You said, I'm going to interview you, I got some questions that people are asking me, I'm going to call you sometime tomorrow, and I think I was like writing copy or something when you call and you said, hey, this is John, I got some questions for you, and then bam, it was like literally right there.
Yeah, in fact, I remember I called you, without you realizing I was going to call you. Like, we've talked about it. Hey, just call me on the phone when... Because the idea came up when you were visiting, and you said, yeah, you know, call me when I get home. And I called you, and you were in the middle of doing a bunch of work that you had to do. And I was like, let's just do it now. And you're like, okay, whatever, let's go. And we just, you know, cranked right through it, and, you know, and look what happened. So it's kind of like the article that I wrote recently to my MarketingSecrets.com newsletter, and that was about how crap can make you incredibly rich. And it was the whole process of so many entrepreneurs, like a lot of people on this call, that are either working on their first product or working on doing this or doing that. And I'm just as guilty, Frank. I think you're just as guilty, too. Is we get in this mindset that things have to be perfect. You know, we get in this mindset that in order to make money with anything, our first product, our second product, our tenth product, whatever, that it has to be perfect, or that promotion we do for an affiliate product has to be perfect. And the fact of the matter is, we joked about this yesterday, you and I did, Frank, and that is that the biggest piece of crap that you create and get out there in the marketplace will always make more money than a product or a project that's near perfect that you never launch.
Absolutely.
And it's very powerful. It sounds so silly. I mean, that sounds silly, like this old golf joke that 90% of short putts never go in the hole. Obviously, all 100% never go in. But it's the same type of thing, but it's very, very powerful. Because we try to be perfectionists, and we're so afraid just to throw things up there. But you don't get any results until you throw something out there. And you don't make any money until you throw something out there. So that interview was a great example of how, you know, we both made a lot of money from that one promotion and from taking about 15 minutes of our time just to bank something out, just to throw it up and see how it would work.
And to stand out and you know, be different from everybody else. I mean, you could have taken the easy way and said, oh, okay, well, here's the ad that Frank recommends I send to my list, cut, paste, click, send, and gotten okay results, if any, because it was a weird match. I mean, your people are into eBay, and my thing is it was not about eBay at all, you know? So
yeah, and it's funny that you bring up that point, because I'm just as guilty as everyone else. You know, here, it sounds like we're preaching at everyone, like saying, you got to take your time to write ads and make them different. I still do it all the time. I'll still send out a camp promotion just because a lot of times I'm lazy, and I also have 500 projects going on, and I don't have time to do it correctly. And I know in the back of my mind I'm not going to make maximum return on my efforts. I'm not going to make the maximum cash that I can by not taking the time. But in this example, like you just bring up, how my audience match wasn't really targeted towards it. So for the auction people, I had to take the extra time and work, and I'm glad I did because it really paid off. But I had to go the extra mile to really tailor it to those people and to really make it something special and different from those canned offers. And it goes a lot in with what you said about the diet stuff for nurses and everything else. So only you know your prospects and your customers really well, or at least you should.
It could be another topic, which is, you know, people don't get to know their market, but I don't want to
feel
that,
right?
Because we're really hitting some good stuff here. And I think one thing that made that promotion work, and in a minute I'll tell you guys all exactly how to do what we did, at least with the audio. It's really mindless. You may not have equipment. But what made that promotion work so well is you knew your audience and you paid attention to the Robert Collier letter book, which is where John and I first learned this fundamental principle of selling, which is to enter the conversation which is already in your prospect's mind when you're selling something, which is like basic old school marketing. I mean, you know, this guy's just been around forever. He's gone now, but he was a turn of the century kind of stuff. And that's what John did. He got a lot of questions from his market. He knew the conversation that was already in their mind. Like, wait a minute, what's all this information marketing stuff? I'm used to selling antique, you know, baby spoons on eBay. What's this crap got to do with anything? And he just jumped right on in there and said, hey, you know, you're probably wondering what this crap has to do with eBay, and I'm going to call Kern and let's see what the answer is. And it really works like a champ. And I'll move on to tell you exactly how to do what we did. But first, I want to say, if you're interested in learning the most effective marketing, which I think is from the older guys, the guys who've been around a while, and usually it's the old mail order guys, we have a very, very rare opportunity, which I say we, it's not anything to do with John and I, we're going, but you can actually meet and hear, and in my opinion, one of the greatest copywriters ever to walk the planet, a man named John Carlton, at Ken McCarthy's System Seminar. And this is a blatant plug for the system. It's not profit-driven. We're just going to tell you to go to Ken's website and check it out. If you join, you do. If you go, you do. If you don't, not, it's fine. We don't get paid for it, but it's d-system-seminar.com. It's definitely worth going to. we're going. We hope we can run into some of you guys there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be great to meet some people, especially some people that took the time to call in tonight. You know, we'd love to see you in person. And the other thing, I don't mean to get off track here. Again, this is roller coaster call tonight. But let's make it a point to talk a little bit more about building relationships and doing JVs, because we got some good questions in from people about JVs, and we're going to get to some questions here in a minute. So we can talk about the going to seminars and why that's important, even if you're not, and you shouldn't be, unless you're crazy, selling stuff to internet marketing. Even if, you know, you are in real niche markets, why it can really benefit you to build relationships with people in person and how you can leverage their assets. We get all into that stuff.
Let me tell people how to do
and go ahead.
And demystify that. It's very, very simple. You simply get a conference call line like the one we're on and ask them to record the call for you and send it to you in an MP3 format, and then, bam, you have an audio product. The conference company we're using right now is a company called voicetext.com, voicetext.com, voicetext.com. Call them up. It's really cheap. They handle everything. You just call in a number and talk. Another way to get audio products and audio affiliate messages out to your people is to use Armin Morin's audiogenerator.com. It's an excellent product. John and I both use it. We've had good results with it. You can, it's mindlessly easy to use, and you can have audio in your affiliate messages immediately from using it. So there's no technical barriers anymore getting in our way. So I think we successfully covered issue number two, which is the problem of duplicated ads. We've discussed exactly how to overcome that product or that problem, which is simply to stand out, go the extra mile. If you do a couple years doing things that most people won't do, you'll spend the rest of your life doing things that those very same people cannot do. There's truer words that have never been spoken. So if it's all right with you, John, I'd like to move on to major mistake of internet marketing number three, which is people have marketing-itis. And that's kind of a corny thing to say. And what I mean by that is everybody wants to be the guy in the front of the room. Everyone wants to be the seminar speaker. You know, everyone wants to be wealth coach, marketing consultant, or whatever, and they want to be a marketing guru, and they want to sell products which are all about how to make money on the internet. And I'll just make a frank statement right now, no pun intended, but just, you know, a candid statement to you guys, and that is internet marketing totally sucks. It is an extremely difficult market to be in. I don't mean selling things on the internet totally sucks. I mean trying to break into the internet marketing crowd is extremely difficult, and it is absolutely not the way to go. And I've thought of a pretty good analogy to describe this. Who do you think makes more money? Is it going to be Michael Jordan, or does his coach make more money? It's Michael Jordan, obviously. You're going to make more money being in the game than you're going to be on the sidelines talking about it. But so many people want to sit around and go, oh, man, I have this new ebook product, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to call a bunch of internet marketers, and I'm going to ask them a question about what they would do if they got gangrene and lost a toe. So contribute your chapter, and, you know, it's going to be called Internet Marketing Gangrene, and, you know, it's going to, and, you know, it's great. I mean, neato, yay, you know, at least you're doing something, but it's so much easier to enter other markets. I mean, it's just hands down easier stuff. A couple of years ago, the internet marketing market was not as overcrowded and just full of, you know, everybody and their brother's a marketing expert now. But today, it's everywhere you turn. You got a new guy making a new course, and 99.99% repeating percent of the time, it's someone just giving absolutely, totally rehashed information. I mean, you know, like, very chapters out of other people's ebooks, almost verbatim. So, listen, if you're having trouble and you're marketing online right now and you're like trying to sell how to get rich on the internet stuff and you're not making any money, stop selling how to get rich on the internet stuff and start selling things like, you know, how to teach your cat to do the tango or something like that. And the reason why is because you can use the principle that are used by the guys in internet marketing to sell to this crowd, which is a very small group of people, by the way. Only 70,000+ people type in the words internet marketing on Overture every month. I just did the research a couple days ago to gauge the size of our market. If you use the same techniques that the for lack of a better word, I use overkill gurus, if you use the same techniques gurus use to sell stuff to tiny little niche markets that are not hyper-competitive, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And if you use good headlines, guarantees, hooks in your sales copy, bullet points, throw in premiums, and you're selling something like how to get squirrels out of your bird bath, you're going to make a killing, assuming that's what that market wants.
Let me jump in here for a sec, Frank.
Yeah, jump on in.
This is a great one about, you know, everyone's trying to, you know, make money in internet marketing. And you know, a lot of people have never even heard of me, you know, John Reese and my name. And the only people that really have just, it's been kind of in the last, you know, 6 months or so, 6 months to a year maybe. And that's only because I've just now started basically coming out of the dark, so to speak, from behind the curtain, you know, to teach people some marketing things that I've discovered, things like that. But, you know, I was, before I even, and me right now, I don't have any marketing products at all. You know, I'll be honest, I'm working on one because I do enjoy teaching people this stuff. I'm very passionate about it like you are, Frank. You know, I do see so much crap in the market, and I want to teach people the right way. You know, I say this about the whole internet marketing thing and certain people. You know, I think being a teacher, which is what you are if you're trying to coach people or, you know, be, you know, a consultant or anything else, I think being a teacher is a huge responsibility. But I think being a teacher to teach people how to make money, you know, how to run their own business or grow their own business, I think that is one of the most, you know, that's one of the biggest responsibilities of all. So I see so much crap out there and so much misguided, you know, and so much just mythical information being sold on hype and crap that people have never even tested themselves, or, you know, these guys selling products where they've never even, you know, they don't practice what they preach. They haven't even tried the method themselves, and they're trying to sell people this, you know, these solutions for them to use for their business. Anyway, I personally have a problem with it. So one of the things that, the only reason I'm interested in selling some marketing, internet marketing products myself, is because I would really like to start teaching people some of the right ways to make money online and to grow their business. But here's the other reason why I'm also finally interested in doing this. I've been doing this for over 12 years, not selling products on marketing, but making money in all kinds of niche markets, which we're going to talk a lot about tonight, which we think everyone should get into because it's an incredible opportunity. And I still do this today just like you do, Frank. You know, I've had over 100 websites, and I've done, you know, I've made money with all kinds of stuff, babies and cell phones and golf products and baseball cards and, you know, all kinds of hobbies and, you know, home stuff. Just goes on and on. I go after anything that's an opportunity. There's so many opportunities out there besides marketing. But one of the greatest analogies or statements for all this stuff about internet marketing, if you really are trying to sell things to this internet marketing market or this make money market, some of the only people that will be able to have any success at all, and this goes in with a great question we got. I'm going to read it here in a second. Actually, I'll read it right now. Here's the question someone wrote in with. Would you ever consider developing a product in a niche market where you use only research, not your own personal experience or expertise, or would you advise people to only develop products based on their own expertise? And Frank, you saw this question earlier, and you said as soon as it came in, that is a perfect question. That's a great question. And it is, and it goes right in with what we're talking about. But just to make a comment on this, how it relates to the marketing market of selling people stuff on how to make money online and everything else, one of the markets, I believe, I'm sure there are a few others, you know, Payne, and we can kick around some ideas on this, but one of the markets for sure where you have to have your own personal experience and expertise is any kind of financial market where you're trying to teach people how to make money, whether it's in the stock market, whether it's internet marketing, whether it's buying and selling real estate. Unless you have an incredibly compelling story about how you made so much money buying and selling houses or being a landlord, you know, or how you trade stocks for profit. It's kind of like Stephen Pierce, why he was, you know, very successful with his recent, that Fibonacci Secrets product that a lot of people may have heard about that he did. Anyways, it's a create a physical product. We're going to get more into physical products. That was like a computer tutorial to teach people how to trade the futures and commodities markets because he trades on a daily basis. It's what he does. But he has incredible experience doing it. So I think, just to throw this out there, and then I'll let you talk, Frank. I don't mean to take over the call. But I think anything to do, my point is anything to do with making money or financial stuff, it's almost an impossible sell if you haven't really already done a lot yourself in that market. And in other words, unless you haven't made a lot of money, you know, it's like teaching people how to be a race car driver. Unless you've been a successful race car driver, how can you teach people how to race cars? I mean, don't you agree with that, Frank?
A great analogy, you know, too, would be if you're going to teach people how to save lives and be a doctor, you damn well better know what the hell you're doing and have been to medical school and have saved some lives yourself, or else you're going to give people a total load of crap and you're going to end up costing people their lives.
Exactly. Frank. However, with that being said, and that analogy applies to a few markets, and unfortunately one of them is anything to do with making money. So for a lot of people, and we're not saying this to discourage people on the call, but maybe write their first ebook on internet marketing, anything else. You know, this call, the reason to do this call is to help people make a whole lot of money for themselves. And I hope everyone on the call realizes this and takes everything we say so pretty much with a grain of salt, but also realizing that it's to help you make the most money that you can make. And the point is, even if you are already trying to do some internet marketing stuff, you know, the odds are, unless you're doing really well with it, you're kind of, you know, having a really tough time. Now you know why. It's because unless you have an incredible story on how you've been able to succeed and make a whole lot of money online, it's going to be hard to teach other people that stuff or have products in that market. Like you, Frank, brought up about the great thing about wanting to interview a bunch of marketers and the gangrene thing. Interview products are one of the worst products you can possibly create. You're never going to build a business on interview products because, especially for information products, and especially for information products, revolves around personal expertise. When people buy them, they're not just buying the product or solution, they're buying you. So they're buying your life experience, they're buying your expertise. And so you have nothing else to sell those people because it's not your expertise you're selling in the first place. But that's only for a few markets, like the financial stuff. Making money is one of them. Obviously the doctor one is another. It would be really hard to really create a compelling story for sales letter on how you solve back pain if you've never really had back pain yourself. You know, there are certainly some exceptions to the rule with that stuff. But with that?
Or if you've never solved back pain in the first place. I mean,
right, right.
I'm going to make a product about how to get rich online. I'm broke as hell, and I want
right.
to, you know, I mean, so it's crazy.
But with that being said, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. 99% of other markets that aren't related to the financial stuff, like making money in the stock market, real estate, online, whatever, or that medical stuff. I'm sure there's some other ones we could think of that fall into that. You got to have personal experience and expertise in order to sell. 99% of the other markets that are out there that present a tremendous opportunity, you can go into and create products for, and we can talk about that, where you don't even write the product. You use someone else's expertise. You use your marketing, and you make money. And in a lot of other markets, like Frank has done and continues to do day in and day out, like I've done myself day in and day out, you can make a whole lot of money going after a lot of under-the-radar small markets that a lot of people are just ignoring, you know, and meeting the needs of people that are, you know, looking for a certain solution or looking for a certain product. And here's one quick example, and then Frank, I'll let you ramble for a while. In the past, I have made a small fortune over the past 12 years doing affiliate products and information products for the family-related market, like around children and babies and parenting. And I'm a single guy. I've never been married. I don't have children. I have a couple of great nephews that I enjoy playing with, but I don't have kids myself. I don't know anything. I'll be honest with you, I know nothing about babies.
Do you even have dishes?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, if I had to change a diaper, I would probably hurt the child. I don't even know. I'll be honest. I really, you know, I mean, I'm being, you know, I'm joking here. I probably could figure it out. I'm sure there's one way it goes on. But the point is, that's a great example. You know, that's a market I was able to go into and make a whole lot of money on, and I don't have any expertise in that. So answering this person's question, would you ever consider developing a product in a niche market where you use only research, not your own personal experience or expertise, or would you advise people only to develop products based on their own expertise? So the question is, absolutely yes, we would consider developing products for niche markets that we know nothing about and would just research. And that was what that baby example was about. Now, Frank, you can, I'll throw this over to you, and you can, it's like playing tennis. I'll finally whack it back over the net. Of course, that was the longest point ever played.
It was a lob.
Yeah, it was a heck of a lob. Back to you, but,
blinded by the sun.
About going into the fact of having other people create the product. Like, if you don't have any expertise and you do want to create a product in another market, what are your options? What can you do?
You can do an interview with somebody, and you just got through saying don't build your business on interview-based products, but I think if you're...
Well, that was really related to the marketing stuff.
Marketing, yeah, that's what I wanted to clarify for people. So they're like, wait a minute, you know, Frank, just...
And I'll be honest, I just to interject, I personally, and so here again, I'm not perfect, I could be wrong here. I don't have any experience making any money with any interview-type products. So I don't know if you've done a little bit of that in some niche markets or not, but I personally, I've tried some of this stuff, and I'll be honest with you, you know, back in the day, where did that phrase come from? Anyway, several years ago, when I was poor, I tried some stuff, but now that I think about it, it was related to making money, so... I don't know, maybe you want to elaborate on that if you have experience.
Well, you have no business. You're like this broke guy telling people how to get rich. Of course that's not going to work. I think people like telepathically see through that or something. But, yeah, I've seen interview products work really well. If you take experts and you interview an actual expert, for example, a great interview-based product, a roundtable discussion-style product, is Dan Kennedy's Platinum Inner Circle Navy SEALs of Marketing Tapes. That's nothing but a bunch of guys who are in business, all of them very successful, talking about what's working in their businesses. They recorded the meeting, made a tape shot out of it, did great. Another one is Dan Kennedy and Jeff Ball's information product on joint ventures, which was just nothing but Jeff interviewing Dan, which is an excellent product, by the way. I reference it all the time in terms of how to do joint ventures. I think if you just type it in Google or something, you'll probably find it, like Jeff Ball joint venture course, I guess. You do a search there or whatever if you want it. I recommend it.
But let me make a point here, jump in and ask you this again. I'm certainly not trying to start an argument with you here, but I have a point about that. But isn't that that became a product of Dan's or of Jeff's?
Well, they split it. So let's get away from.
But they were already existing marketers, so.
Yeah, they're already.
You know what I mean? So we're kind of back to the same thing. They had a business. They had a story. They had successful other products of their own that were unique. So they were able just to add the interview thing to the funnel, but. You know, trying to hit this from the other side about, you know, some people that may be on the call that have no existing business, can they go into niche markets and create an interview product? And now that you're talking about it, I certainly think they could, you know.
I would definitely say absolutely. Like I was trying to give examples.
If you wanted to get in shape, you could go find, you know, 10 different personal trainers. You know, a lot of those people are very opinionated and have their own routines and nutrition plans, and you could get their opinion, all of them independently, interview all of them. What do you think the best way is to, you know, get in shape quickly, and that could be a pretty good
thing. For a product, and let's just hypothetically say we could get this guy on the phone. One of the most famous and amazing distance runners of all time is a guy named Stuart Middleton. And let's say I wanted to sell how to become a distance runner for new dads who work from home who, you know, eat too much Ben and Jerry's. All right. I could, being not a distance runner myself, but having great empathy with that market, since I'm a new dad, I work from home, and I eat too much Ben and Jerry's, I could simply call Stu Middleton on the phone. Hey, Stu, I'm a new dad, I work from home, I eat too much Ben and Jerry's. The best way for me to become an amazing distance runner like you and run like 23 consecutive hours or something totally insane like that, which this guy has done on numerous occasions. So, yeah, it's a great way to make a product. Another way to make a product is to simply interview a person and a ghostwriter that you find on Elance and say, make a cohesive manuscript out of this interview. Not transcribe it, but just get the gist of the interview, the main points that are covered, and make a book out of it and make a ghost book, which is another excellent way to do it. So you don't even have to sell it as an interview. It's a book, and you just take the content that you get, that you extract from that person, and you make a product out of it. So, yeah, interviews are great. I've got 5 websites up right now, probably within the next 7 days, if my author can get it created within that time, I'll have 2 more up.
So how else can someone go about creating a niche market? Let's say when someone researches a market, and we can get into more about how you can do that, and, you know, and they say, hey, I want to make something for golfers, but they don't even play golf. You know, how else, besides just interviewing an expert, how else can you, you know, what I'm getting at is the whole ghostwriting thing.
Well, all right, let's let's back up a minute. Because
okay, I'm sorry.
We're really kind of taking it in the wrong order, if you think about it. And this is
okay, let's just end the call then. We'll do this again some other time.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
No.
This is like one of the worst mistakes I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
Which was to come down here, John. No, which is to focus on a product first.
Right.
And say, how am I going to create a product? And, man, it's just absolutely the most horrible thing you could do business-wise in terms of starting out. The first thing you ever want to do is find the market, find out what they want, and then get a product made for them. So let's take the golf market. The first thing I would do is I would say, here's the golf market. Are they good to sell to? And then I would look for certain factors, which I look for when I'm doing market analysis. And that is, does it have reachability? Can I easily reach golfers? Are golfers completely crazy about golf or a certain aspect of golf or about a certain thing? Are they totally passionate about it? My friend Joshua Shaffrin calls it the aholic factor. Are these guys golfaholics? Which most of the time there's a segment of the golf community that is. So, yeah. Third thing I'd look for is, do they have any money? And are they spending money within this market now? And if I get yeses and good feedback from all three of those things, then I would start to consider making a product. And I have this down to a formula. I do it all the time now with all kinds of markets I know absolutely nothing about and have no interest in. So it totally works. It's paying for my house and cars as we speak. So what I would do then is, instead of going, okay, I'm going to sell the Putter 2000 to golfers or whatever, I would simply ask these guys what they want. And I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version of the formula because it gets kind of scientific. I'd simply put up an ad in, like, Google or Overture, and I'd say something like, attention golfers, new product just for golfers, click here, something like that. And when they click on the ad, they go to a page and say, hey, golfers, what do you guys want to buy? Tell me, and I'll give you a free sample of it when it's ready. And then they basically tell me what they want to buy. And, of course, I mean, this is really the condensed Reader's Digest version of it. I would wait until I got about 60 or 70 responses, and then I would go through that data and I'd say, okay, here's what these people want. Can I make a product for them based on what they want or not? And if I feel it's a product that I can make, then I would have it made. And John and I both come from the information school of marketing, which is, we both have sincere belief, almost rabid belief, that some of the best and easiest and fastest money to make is through selling information products, because they have the highest perceived value a lot of times and the highest markup. So I always try to approach niche marketing through, what kind of an information product can I sell these people? So, for example, if I discover through my research that golfers really, really are just dying to find out exactly how, you know, they can putt left-handed or something, you know, and what color visor should they wear for the best luck, if I find that's what they want, then I would simply hire a ghostwriter and say, hey, here's all these questions golfers are asking me. I want you to answer all these questions in a book specifically for golfers. And that's how I get the product made. The place where I find all my ghostwriters is Elance.com, Elance.com. Absolutely no mystery at all. And
let me say something real quick. For all the people that, you know, have taken the time to listen to this call tonight, what you just said, you know, about going to Elance and finding a ghostwriter and stuff, is literally, you know, $1 million technique. I mean, it's incredibly valuable. Frank, it's something you and I have both done for a long time. To, you know, leverage other people and what they can write and even what their expertise is, or have them research it. I mean, let's face it. A lot of people, you know, marketing revolves around content. You know, you start with copywriting and sales letters, you know, and you end up with follow-up sequences and articles and other things. And obviously information products are information, so that's content. Maybe there's some people listening that don't like to write, that aren't very good writers. You know, maybe they're natives. Maybe Chinese is their first language, and they want to sell something to an English market. They don't even know English, but it's so powerful and so valuable. The simple fact that for a couple hundred bucks or so, you know, depending on what you need, it's a little bit more sometimes, that you can just hire someone to create some good stuff for you. You know, write some really good content that you can't even do yourself. That then you plug it into your marketing, whether it's hiring someone to write a sales letter. Like, if you can't write copy, hire someone who can. It's pretty simple. Once a sales letter is created, it's an asset that you can use forever to produce income for your business. Keep sending traffic there. People keep buying because of the sales letter. You know, if you want to create one of these niche market products, you don't know anything about chihuahuas, hire someone who does. You know, have them create a really good product about it. But the point is that you bringing up that about ghostwriting, man, that is just, that's one of the biggest secrets around for making money, not just in internet marketing, but, you know, direct marketing, direct mail, anything else, anything to do with, you know, publishing and information publishing, information products. But I'm sure you'll agree, Frank, our lives, your life, my life, would be completely different if we were forced to have written everything ourselves that we've sold or that we've marketed. Do you agree with that statement?
If that were the case, I'd probably be looking at my watch saying, I have to go now because I need to get up and go to work at the point.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have a business.
Absolutely. So
there's no way.
People, if you're listening to this and you haven't, if you for some reason you've never gone to elance.com, which is ELANCE.com, go there, you know, whenever this call's over, and of course it's by the time this call's over, you'll probably be asleep, but tomorrow, whenever, just go and check out the site, familiarize yourself with the site, look around, see what kind of writers are available, look at the jobs that are posted, see what other people are having people ghostwrite for them, and basically learn it, live it, and love it, and use it for your business no matter what you do. Even if you're in a market where it's all your content anyways, if you've ever gotten to a point in your business like, you know what, if I just had 20 more articles that I could send out to e-zine publishers, you know, to get me some free traffic, man, I could bring in a whole bunch of free traffic because all the other articles I have, you know, that I sat down and took the time to write. And let's face it, Frank, writing takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
like wedding blood.
Yeah, time is the only limited resource you have in this game, in this marketing game. You know, so being able to outsource to other people is very important, and that's what we're talking about here. This is just one component of it, obviously. We can get into the tech stuff and why it's actually, I'll get there next. But so outsourcing for writing is very important. So in this example of, you know, if you thought, if I just had 20 more articles, like the three articles I've written before and submitted to e-zine publishers that would, you know, several people picked up and published or several people put on their websites that link back to my site, I know I'd benefit a lot. I'd get more traffic, get more sales. Well, guess what? You can hire someone today, tonight, right now, to write those articles for you almost regardless of what the market is. People, even if they don't know it, they'll go and research it, or find someone who knows the market. And they can write some good articles. You can just kind of tell them basically what you want them to be about, or you can just let them run with their creativity for that market and create whatever they want. But here's a great example. You know, you could go out and buy 20, 50, 100 of these articles and just have someone write them for you and then use them for your business to profit from.
Well, you know what, this is a perfect way to segue into article number 4 of major mistakes of internet marketing, how to fix them, and that is people get tunnel vision. And I guess a better way to say it is they major in minor things. That's probably a cliche. Anyone that's listened to any kind of motivational stuff has heard that 1,000 times, but it's a good way to describe it. People say, oh man, I gotta write these articles, you know, and listen, article writing is $20 an hour work. You know, building web pages is $50 an hour work. If you want to make $1 million a year, you're not going to do it on a $50 an hour work. You have to do it on $1,000 an hour work. So they get this tunnel vision in their business, and they don't really want to see the big picture. So it's kind of like, it kind of ties in with the theory of and the system of reverse engineering your business to finding out first what your desired end result is and then finding out exactly what steps you have to take.
Hey, where have I heard that before? The reverse engineering thing. We were just talking about this.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, why don't you elaborate on it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you want to make $100,000, you know, you don't start out and just, you know, scurry around in the dark and think of a business to do. The way to do that is to reverse engineer the process. If I'm going to make $100,000, and let's say I'm going to, you know, sell a product that's $1,000, I know I got to sell to 100 people. I'm going to have to find 100 customers for that product. And this is obviously gross gross revenue. It's not profit itself, but just an example. You know, so I have to settle 1,000 people. So, you know, if I'm going to do a $100 product, it's 10,000 people. So then in order to create 10,000, you know, 1,000 sales, if my site is creating a if I can create a site that converts at 1%, you know, for the 10,000, I'm lost in the example given. For 1,000 sales on 1%, you'd need 100,000 visitors. Well, how am I getting 100,000 visitors? So you do, yeah, you work the process backwards. You reverse engineer it, but you have to have goals. And now going from the other side of the coin, this is something I'm very passionate about. I say it all the time because I think it's very, very important, and I also think it's very, very valuable. There's no internet marketer or direct marketer or direct mail whiz guy or anybody else that's ever done anything in marketing that's ever come out of the gate and made like $50,000 or $100,000 or even $1 million without making $1 first and one sale first. So online, since we're talking about internet marketing, everything starts with the smallest increments of whatever it is involved with the process. So if you're on this call right now and you've never had a website visitor, you've never had an opt-in subscriber, you've never had a sale, it's okay because you know what? When you do get things going, your first and foremost, your goal is to get one visitor to a web page. That's it, just one, not 10, not 1,000, not 1,000,000. Just one. Then getting one person to opt in for free, just doing something for free to join your list. Then eventually getting one person to buy, like an affiliate product that you promote, and so you earn a commission, even if it's just a $2 commission. And then it's making one sale of your own product if you do end up having your own products. But so we do reverse engineer the process if we really want to get to our goals. You can't just fly blindly. You got to have a plan for anything you want to do, especially for making money. So you got to have a plan on how I'm going to go from here to there. And, you know, speaking of goals, it's very important to have short-term goals and staged goals. If you want to make $100,000 a year, that's great, but let's first get you to, like, you know, $100 a month or $500 a month and then $1,000 a month, and we'll eventually get to, you know, whatever it is, $8,000-something a month to make $100,000 a year.
Let's talk about the stuff that's going to, the actual activities that's going to produce the money, because I think a lot of people, and man, I've done this forever, so again, I mean, both of us would really like to stress that we're not coming from some place where we know everything and you guys are making, we're just like telling you stuff that we've done that's dumb and that other people that do this dumb. I mean, maybe the mark of what separates the very successful people from the people who are just starting or are not very successful yet is the guys who are really successful have just done more dumb stuff already. You know, maybe that's it, but one thing to do is focusing on the wrong thing. So let's go back to the example of making $100,000 a year. We got 1,000 products, or not even a year, just like in a month or whatever. We have 1,000 products, we need to sell 100 copies. What activities are actually going to contribute the fastest to us selling those 100 copies of the $1,000 product? It's not going to be hanging around in forums asking for site review. It's not going to be packing up the boxes of the product, you know, putting the tapes in the clamshells, packing up the boxes, applying the tape and sticking the mailing labels on there. It's not going to be coming up with graphics and all that kind of crap. What is going to contribute the fastest to selling those products is going to be, one, creating the marketing for those products, and by marketing I mean the advertising and the sales copy on the website, and two, it's going to be driving traffic to that marketing that creates the sales. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's also other activities like creating joint ventures and stuff, but nothing happens until something is sold, so you need to focus on the actual selling. Everything else can be outsourced, totally outsourced. If you don't have any money, that's fine. You know, you're going to have to work a lot harder, but you need to focus the most effort on learning to master the art of selling stuff and driving traffic, period.
No, I totally agree. You got to do the things in the short term. You know, obviously this all depends on your situation too, like for your budget and what you can afford to put into your business and everything else. But you know, one thing that I always think about when I start a new project, you know, even that I have been successful, even that I do have a lot of money I could throw at something, I always think of in terms of like desperation. Like, what if I really had to have the most success possible or generate the most sales possible in the next week in order to keep my lights on, in order to be able to to, you know, keep my family fed, so to speak, what would I do? And in what order would I do them?
It's kind of like how John Carlton, again, to bring up John, he's going to be at the system, which is just going to be awesome. We're both really excited about meeting the guy.
What's the date where that...
Guns to the Head Marketing.
What's the date of the conference? I don't even remember. I travel so much.
I don't remember either.
13th, 14th, 15th, something like that, or 14th, 15th, 16th. It's next month, November, in San Francisco.
Yeah, the-system-seminar.com. Again, we're not being paid for this. We just think it's good and John Carlson rules, but he calls it gun to the head marketing. He said, what would you, you know, imagine you've got this gun to your head that says you've got to make this money right now. Do you think you'd be, like, spending time on forums going, well, whose product do you think is better? You know, how should I word my email footer? Hell no. You're going to be over there trying to make as many sales as you possibly can. I mean, you know, the BS leaves the room if you're practicing the gun to the head marketing stuff. So it sounds almost like, I don't know, like so totally obvious that it's not a powerful statement, but it's so easy to totally waste time. And that's our most limited asset that we have in our lives is time.
Right.
So,
let me chime in here real quick with something real quick. You just reminded me of another little philosophical saying that I always say. And that's basically, you can't worry about things that are beyond your control. I mean, and that goes along with life in general, but specifically for business and for making money. If you're going to sit around and worry so much about what your competitors are doing and, you know, what kind of offers they're doing or how high their prices are on or who's doing JVs with who or, oh, I guess I shouldn't do that product now because I see something. You can't worry about what's beyond your control, because even if those things weren't there, they could be there 2 weeks from now when maybe you did launch the product you were thinking about. So it goes along exactly with what you know what you're saying, Frank. Just stop wasting time and just get things done. And it goes along with the analogy of crap. You got a product you're working on, or you're curious to see if it'll fly. Throw it out there and see what happens. You know. The worst thing that happens, and this is, I think, right what you're getting to, Frank. The worst thing that happens, you know, is that it doesn't succeed as well as you hoped it would. And you'll get good results. Here's what's great about direct response marketing. No matter what you do, you create value. Because even your failures and your crappy results end up becoming assets. That data teaches you to do whatever it is you just did, so you never do it again, and you can learn lessons from that marketing. So, I mean, don't you agree with that, Frank?
Absolutely. I think Bill Myers is where I learned it on the old direct mail boot camp days, where he was saying, you know, you don't actually have failures in direct response. You just have variations of test results. You know, so it's like, oh, well, now I know that doesn't work. Great, cool. I won't do that again. So, I mean, I guess, you know, in summary for this point is,
get stuff done.
Time on getting stuff done. I mean, don't sit around and be like, oh, man, you know, I need to take a four-week class on how to design ebook cover graphics before I release this product. I mean, that's totally a waste of time. Ebook cover graphics are not going to sell stuff. Focus your time and efforts on learning things like copywriting, like driving traffic, converting traffic, getting people to opt in on your list and so forth that actually make stuff happen. Delegate the other stuff. And if you don't have a guy you can hire to make an ebook cover graphic, well, then don't have an ebook cover graphic. The niche marketing websites of mine have nothing to do with internet marketing. Three out of the five of them have absolutely no graphics at all. Three out of the five of them have absolutely no testimonials at all. Because I just threw it out there and made it happen. You know, yeah, they don't make a ton of money, but the combined effect is very nice. But we could go on, you know, on that forever. So let's segue into...
Let's take a break real quick and unmute the line just to make sure people are still there, because and just see if people are enjoying this so far. We're about an hour and a half in, and we're going to keep going for a while, so but I'm just it's weird with just you and I. I'm only hearing you and I, no background noise. I don't even know if people are out there.
Hit star 5 on your phone. This one might...
Okay, and then after a couple minutes, we'll do it again to mute it back. So if you're still there and you're enjoying this, let us know. I'm assuming that was people are still there because there's so many of them. I can't even make out individual people, but I heard a couple people saying that you guys rock or something positive. So
I guess, guys, that's really cool. I mean, the whole reason we did this was to show our appreciation for you guys because you're our customers and subscribers, and without you, we wouldn't be eating. So, you know, thank you very much. It's really an honor that you're taking time out of your life because we just got through saying, you know, time is our most valuable and resource and most limited asset. So it's I don't want to get all sappy on you guys, but it really means a lot to both John and I that you guys are on the phone with us right now listening to what we have to say, which is why we're doing our best to make sure we're giving good stuff, you know, and hopefully helping you guys out.
Absolutely, and in their businesses, you know, they need to realize that, you know, unfortunately, you know, business, as some people like to say, you know, business wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the dang customers, you know, but... You know, but it's true. You really do have to appreciate your customers, and you know, you really do have to constantly strive to deliver value. And a lot of what we're talking about with, you know, marketing on the internet, information products, like, I mean, Frank, that's a lot of what we do is information product stuff because it's so profitable, and you can go into so many different markets, like these niche markets. We'll get into some more of that stuff. But, you know, in doing so, when you sell information products, it's very, very important that, you know, it's the phrase of over-delivering. You really got to just give people so much good information, they feel like they're ripping you off. And if you constantly start to do that, and Frank, I know you do, and I do as well, and I would have to say, you know, if people were to ask us what's one of the factors, you know, what are one of the secrets to why you think you've been able to be successful, you know, obviously both of us, our whole lives haven't always been successful. We've both been really broken in large amounts of debt at one point along the way, but why we've been able to succeed, and that is because we finally learned through the process, at least of selling information products, which is a lot of what we're talking about on this call, is that, you know, you really got to over-deliver. You really got to give people good value. Unless you're going to be in business to give people incredible value that they will benefit from, you can hang it up right now, call it a day, and go do something else with your time and with your life. Because unless you're really interested in delivering value to other people and to their lives, no matter what the market is, you know, if you're going to do something with hobbies, you know, to help people enjoy a hobby more or do something to alleviate pain, unless you're really going to do something to alleviate pain or, you know, whatever it is, you know, teach them about their pets, you know, that they'll enjoy their pet more or enjoy their children more, whatever it is, unless your first and foremost focus before making money, I mean, obviously that's what we're all doing this for, but unless, you keep your eye on the ball and the focus really is to deliver tremendous value to that group of people, you're done. You're never really going to, I mean, you can make some sales, you know, you can do a little bit of business, but if you really want to be really successful, and hey, what a concept is this, think of this, how about making a whole lot of money to give yourself the life that you want and your family the life that they want, but also to make other people happy and to give them great value for the money that they give you so you can enjoy your life. Isn't that a great concept, Frank?
Yeah, I'd say it totally works.
I mean, do you agree with what I'm saying about the over-delivering and that kind of stuff? I think it's really key and important, especially if people are ever going to buy from you again. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to... I don't want to digress too much about niche marketing, but one of the criteria that I have for non-marketing related stuff that I go into is I always want to sell products that enhance joy people are already experiencing. So, I mean, you know, you try to engineer your life so that everything is as cool as possible. And one thing that I want to have is everyone who buys from me, whether it's a marketing related product or it's a product where they're, you know, a pet related product or a computer tutorial or whatever, it's I'm dealing with things they already enjoy in the first place. They're like, man, you know, I'm dealing with everyone who's already in a good mood because they're spending money on stuff that they really like. You know, and it's so much, like, more, like, karmically correct, I guess, than, you know, building a business around how to catch your spouse cheating or whatever. I mean, yeah, that'd probably sell, but, man, you're going to be, you know, dealing with stuff that's just not fun all the time. You know, your customers are in this bad place and everything. So, yeah, totally. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, I mean, who wants to go through their life going, you know, oh, no, the phone's ringing. I hope that's not a customer that's mad at me. You know, you'll be like, all right. This is going to be great. So.
But I think most entrepreneurs, they get excited, you know, they whether it's somebody that just hates their job, which is the reality of this world, which probably I would say 90% of people do, you know, with all the layoffs, and we could go into that forever about the turmoil of the economy and how the world is changing and everything else. But most entrepreneurs say, you know, that's the first thought of, oh, I just want to make a lot of money. I want to be able to do this, this, and this. But again, talk about it. You know, we talked about it before. Reverse engineering the process. In order to get what you want, and you know, this is a cliche, I don't know who said it, but in order to get what you want, you have to help other people get what they want. You know, and so thinking about the end result, if I'm going to be tremendously wealthy, if I'm going to build a successful business, or heck, even a mediocre business, you got to think about the people that will give you their money. You know, what are you going to do for them? So unless your mindset is, hey, you know, I really want to deliver good value. I really want to make people happy that buy from me. You know, I think you're behind the eight ball before you even get started. So,
well, you know, this is a perfect segue. And
but I'm just as guilty. You know, I'll say it, and you know, because I do want to say that it's not like we're just preaching at people on this call saying, oh, you know, you're just greedy. You're just thinking about money. Look, I mean, as marketers, that's all we think about. We're excited about it. It's a game. You know, the money's like a scoreboard. And you know what? The money does buy funny stuff, too. Hey, that's a great benefit. I mean, Frank, you and I mean, we've been very blessed through years of hard work, though. It's no luck. And, you know, you and I both drive expensive sports cars that some people would see as absolutely crazy for having spent money on. I mean, I know your reasons for it. Me personally, it was a dream of mine to drive the car I do today, and it was a reward for my hard work. You know, and people, you know, some people may see it, and I don't know what they think about you. I've heard all kinds of jokes. What, do you sell drugs, or, you know, what, are your parents rich? Or, you know, no, I worked for it. I paid cash for it, you know, and I feel really good about driving because I worked very, very hard. You know, I mean,
no, my parents sell drugs.
Yeah, exactly. But so, you know, as entrepreneurs, yeah, we're in this to make money. Let's make no mistake about it. Everybody on this call tonight is in it to make money. But I think what goes along with that process, in order to make money, there are very few people who are making a lot of money that aren't also helping a whole lot of people and benefiting a whole lot of people. You know, we do talk about marketing, you know, direct marketing in general, about it's all about the benefits. And it's all about what's in it for them. And, you know, we'll get into that some more when we get talking about some JV stuff, about people that are, you know, I forget how you phrased it a little bit ago before we got on the phone, about how people are only thinking about, like, how things are going to turn out for them, when that's not how you're successful working with other people. It's actually the opposite. And so along this whole customer line, you know, it's the same way. You've got to think about what's in it for them. So in order to make money selling something to people, it's your headline, your subhead, your bullets, your offer, your bonuses, your guarantee. It's all got to be, you know, order for maximum, you know, for what it produces, the max amount of money you'll make. It all has to be targeted at what's in it for the person that's reading it, and it's the person that will ultimately give you their money. I mean, don't you agree?
I do agree, and I think it's a perfect way, because we're talking about adding value and all that, to segue into the five deadly mistakes of internet marketing that we see people making that we've personally made many times, and how to fix it. And that is, here's what happens. Like, when someone has a website and they're selling a little bit, but it's not doing as well as they think they could do, and this could be any business or any product, they're like, oh, man, this isn't really selling that well. Damn. I guess in order to increase sales, I'd better what? What's the first thing they do? Lower price. Natural reaction, right? But here's the magic thing. Instead of lowering the price to get your sale, to gain that customer, a better thing to do is simply to add more value. Because here's why people don't buy. They don't buy because they don't want it. They don't buy because they can't buy it. They just ain't got the money. Or they don't buy because they don't believe you. And a lot of times, in not believing you, is they just simply don't see the value in the proposition. So a lot of times, instead of lowering your price, if you simply add value, you'll finally flip that switch. And, you know, let's just call it the switch that enables the magic transfer. My grandfather, he used to talk to me about the magic transfer, which was, in business, if the magic transfer occurs when the money flows, magically transfers from their pocket into yours. And that's not coming from, like, a greedy place. It's the switch that needs to flip in somebody's mind that says, okay, now it's time to buy. And that switch always happens when we perceive more value we're going to get than the money we have to spend. So let's talk about some ways that you can add value. First of all, you can increase the strength of your marketing. You can sell harder. Man, so many people are making the mistake of simply not selling harder. A friend of mine that I recently met has a mailing list of 65,000 people who have gone to a search engine, typed in specific keyword phrases, gone to her website, and signed up for her newsletter, and she doesn't make any money because she doesn't sell things to them overtly. She's concerned that, well, gosh, what if they think I'm trying to sell them something? Listen, it's okay for, you know, to sell things to people, to up the ante, to sell harder, to add more value.
If you don't make offers, no one buys.
Yeah, if you don't make offers, no one buys. And guess what? If someone gets offended by it and says, oh, my God, this person's trying to sell me something, well, they're not going to be your customers anyway. Dan Kennedy likes to say you're not going to make a good omelet until you break a few eggs. You know, and then that's just the way it goes. You have to kind of shake it up a little bit. I'm not saying, like, the obnoxious hard sell used car salesperson.
Speaking of old DK, who we both really, really like, that's Dan Kennedy. Did you already recommend? We haven't really gotten into products we recommend. Oh, by the way, just to let everybody know that's listening, you're like, when are you going to answer some questions from people? A lot of what we're telling you is answering questions that we got. That's why we kind of formulated like a little presentation for, and then we'll actually jump into emails and actually read a couple of specific ones that we haven't covered yet. But what we're talking about right now is answering a lot of questions that we got. So just to clarify that as we're approaching 2 hours into this call, people go, I thought they were going to just answer questions. So that's what we're doing with how we just kind of create a little presentation of all this. But anyways,
now we're just making all this stuff up. We don't know.
Yeah, talking about Dan Kennedy.
You know,
he's got some great products on information products. And one of the great things he said, I always will remember it. And that, again, this goes along with, you know, trying to make something perfect before you just get it out there. And he has this great phrase. It doesn't have to be good. Just good enough.
Another way, is good enough.
Right, and I love that. I mean, I just that's just so profound. You know, it's just like when I heard him say that on a tape of his I have, I was just like, man, that is just so powerful. Because it doesn't have to, you know, be anywhere near perfect. It just has to be good enough.
Yeah, and then, you know, your market will tell you if it's not good enough, they'll say this sucks. And the way they're saying this sucks is they send it back for a refund, so you make it better then. But you at least start the sales cycle, get some numbers going, you know, see how well your marketing's doing.
What are a couple of his products that you recommend?
Oh, man, everything.
But that was one of the questions we had. Let's
totally changed my life.
Let's segue just for a second here. One of the common questions we got from quite a few people were, you know, I'm new to this or I've read some different things. What products do you think are good that could really help me? So let's take it just a second, pull a couple out there.
One that was like, I can tell you where I was in my wife's old red Volkswagen Jetta driving on, I can't remember the highway, I think I-40, coming from Asheville, North Carolina to Macon, when I listened to the Direct Mail Boot Camp tapes, which are old tapes. It's like from the 80s or something, like old, you know. Like, but anyway, they've been around forever. That's a tremendously powerful tape set to me. It has Gary Halbert on there. It's got Bill Myers on there. He's just amazing, who a lot of folks in the internet marketing crowd might not be that familiar with, but Bill Myers is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I own it, too. It's a great product. And here's what's funny. I just want to throw this out there right now. This is just so funny. I bet there's a lot of people listening to the call going, wait a minute. I don't really recognize any of those names, you know. Those aren't the Yannick Silvers and the Corey Rudels, you know, and the Ken McCarthy's and the Armin Morins and the Stephen Pierce's. And, you know, so, of course, you know, all those guys we know and they're friends of ours and make great internet marketing products. That's not my point. But my point is that there's some tremendous value that you can get out of products, you know, and I don't know if we want to get into all this about how direct marketing itself is what's driving internet marketing, and these are principles that were, you know, thought of, developed, discovered, whatever you want to call it, tested, you know, from even 80 years ago that still work today because, you know, the common things about psychology and persuasion and copy and, you know, benefits and all the principles of direct marketing apply directly to the internet. So,
the undisclosed truth of internet marketing. Internet marketing doesn't exist. Internet marketing is a term that's total BS. The internet's just media. So direct response marketing, I mean, marketing is marketing. It's like saying, you know, I'm a newspaper marketer. You're a marketer, period. You're a student of marketing. So, I mean, you know, yeah, exactly like you're saying, old school direct response is where all of us learn from. I mean, that's like the well of
knowledge. Right, so I would be willing to say that 99% of anybody that's making good money online in any market with information products, all the stuff we're talking about, I would be willing to say that 99% of those people are students of these other products and other these other people we're talking about. Ted Nicholas, Dan Kennedy, John Caples, Claude Hopkins, Gary Halbert, John Carlton. You know, not necessarily not everyone, all of those, but some of those, some of us, all of those. But a lot of really solid direct marketing teachers and marketers themselves that have made hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, using those techniques in all kinds of media, TV, radio, you know, magazines, newspapers, and even the internet.
So
we recommend. I think you and I are both big fans of Dan Kennedy. As far as we really like his stuff a lot, we like all those other guys' stuff. But Dan's a guy, you know, his approach is, you know, in his newsletter is called with the no BS, you know, whatever, and that's his style, and that's maybe that's why you and I like it, just because our personalities are similar. And he just cuts right to it. He's easy to learn from. He's got really good stuff. So, what's his main site? Is it just DanKennedy.com?
DanKennedy.com.
Yeah. I would just, you know, buy everything of his that looks interesting to you that you can afford, that relates to what you want to do. All his stuff is just, he's the consummate guy about over-delivering. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. What's awesome is he's also a great example because his stuff isn't pretty. You know, it's these photocopied pages that are lopsided sometimes, and he sells millions of dollars worth of this stuff, and the information is priceless.
Yeah, because it's the information that matters. It's not the glossy thing it comes in.
Yeah. But,
and what's sad is, and now I'm willing to put my name and my reputation online in saying this, because I'm somebody that, you know, I went to college. I was in business school. I dropped out with a year to go, which killed my parents at the time, but now they're okay with it since I've made something of myself and didn't get in too much trouble. But I'd be willing to say, you know, that today people could take less than what, you know, 1 year of college tuition costs and invest. Shoot, it's probably less than one semester now. I mean, you can go on eBay and find some of these products. But anyways, just speaking of, like, Dan Kennedy himself, you could buy, you know, most of his products very inexpensively and someone could get a better marketing education than going to college and studying marketing, which in itself is just theory anyways and not application, which is what direct marketing actually is and what Dan Kennedy teaches. So anybody on the call, Frank and I don't, you know, we love Dan. We think he's an awesome teacher.
Like he doesn't pay us for this.
What's that?
We're not being paid.
We don't get paid. We're not making a commission. We don't have any deals with him. You know, I actually just had the pleasure of meeting him for the first time a couple months ago. That's the only contact I've ever had with the guy in my life. You could ask, you could mention my name, he'd say, I have no idea who you're talking about. But I'm one of his customers. But anyways, go to his site and just, you know, we'll go to eBay and search for his products, and that will give you a really good foundation for all this marketing stuff in general. Now, let's talk about some other products, though, that we recommend.
Jeff Carlton's, was it Kick-Ass Copywriting Secrets of a Marketing Rebel? Has been
John Carlton, you mean?
Yeah, what did I
say? Did you say Jeff Carlton? You think of Jeff Paul?
Yeah, Jeff Paul, all Jeff Paul stuff, man. It's just, I love
it. People just do a search on Google.
John Carlton is marketingrebel.com. Excellent. It's an expensive course about copy, so if you're going to buy it, don't screw around and put it on the shelf because it won't be worth anything to you. It's like a grant.
Well,
but I bought it and...
Well, don't buy any of these products unless you're going to do something.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're not going to do anything, you should hang up the phone right now, and I'm not kidding. Because the odds are we're over our limit on the call, and you're keeping other people from hearing this information that are actually going to put it to use. So, I think you agree with that, don't you, Frank?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're doing an injustice to other people that really are going to go take action with what we're teaching people or what you learn from those products. So, you know, really, yeah, you buy it, you invest it. Don't just, you know, run up your credit card debt. And let me just address something, because I was at a point in my life once when, you know, I was dead broke and a lot of debt. I was buying into all kinds of business opportunities. I'm sure there's people on the call that have done the same thing. You know, I got into network marketing or mail order or doing this and doing that, chasing the quick buck just because I didn't want to get a real job. And unfortunately, I had to have one for longer than I wanted one. But anyways, the point being is, what is my point? I'm getting off on all kinds of different stuff. The point is that, you know, all this different type of make money stuff and all this other stuff, the only way to, you know, really, I'm sure you agree with this. It's like my dad says, there's no free lunch. If you really want to make money, you got to what, Frank? Build a business.
You know, work like hell. I mean, if
yeah, you got to work at it.
Massively successful business. I mean, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna sweat some blood out. Absolutely. There's no. I mean, you can work smarter. You can accelerate the growth of that business, but you can't just like buy a course and immediately make money.
Right. It's, here's the point I was going to make.
Where that works. Let me, you know, tell me. I'll buy like.
Right. Right. Here's the point I was going to make. It's so funny. I'm so excited about all this stuff we're talking about that we've talked about for 2 days and now are fortunate enough to be able to share on this call with people. But I got so many things going on in my head, which you probably do because we've just been laughing about it. But here's what I was going to say. The point is a lot of people that, you know, buy business opportunities and get into all these other things like I have, buy products to buy what? To buy hope.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we buy these things, and we're all guilty of it, you know, in fact, I probably still do it every now and then when I read a fancy newsletter about some new technique that's going to make me rich. For a minute there, so what you're basically buying is you're buying a lottery ticket. And it makes you feel really good to buy the lottery ticket and buy the product. But you never want to check the numbers in the paper to see if you won. And that analogy is equal to taking action on the techniques you're learning from the product. Because you just want to hold on to the hope. You have, everyone has this, you know, a lot of people have this fear of, like, failure. And you don't want to just, you know, go out there and put things into action, you know, take action and put things into the works and see if it works or not, because you're afraid it won't make you money. So what do? A lot of us go and buy more and more make-money products, more and more courses. We never take any action because it just feels good for about a week to have that hope that, you know what, I maybe could get rich if I do what's in that product. So, yeah, you buy any of these courses, read it, learn it, you know, and start putting it into use. So what's some other products?
Actually, well here, I'm just going to cost myself some money right now, but I don't even care because there's enough to go around for everybody and make this statement. A lot of people write into both John and I, and they say things like, Frank or John, I've tried everything. I've bought all these courses. I just don't know what to do. I haven't made any money yet. And is your thing gonna, you know, finally be the one that pushes me over the edge? The answer is no. You know, it's not. Listen, if you've bought a course or a product from Yannick Silver, Kerry Dean, Kurt Christensen, Dan Kennedy, Jeff Paul, John Carlson, Gary Halbert, attended the Ken McCarthy or Armin Morin seminar, anything like that, the easiest way for you to start putting money back in your pocket right now is to stop buying stuff. And then, even if it's one of mine, I mean, don't buy my stuff if you bought all this other stuff and haven't used it yet. Stop buying stuff until you have put into practice what you have learned and what these other folks have taught you in their courses. I mean, that's a deal killer for me. I'll probably, like, lose sales because there are people on this call that...
No, and I totally agree with that. So many times people have come to me and said that, Frank, and I've said, well, what have you bought before? And they'll crank out this huge list, and on this, you know, on the list will be some crap, but on this list will be some really amazing products, like that I personally own and have read. I'm just, you know, and a lot of times when it's my subscribers, like, I personally don't promote anything that's not really good. So if they're my subscriber or they're one of my customers, usually some of those products are products I, you know, recommended they buy. And, you know, my response to that is when they ask, you know, what should I buy next? Or I'm like, you have no idea of the you know, how much valuable information you're sitting on with those products you already own.
Just do it.
There's so much money you can make if you just follow the steps in the materials you already have right in your hands. They're sitting right on the shelf in your, you know, in your bedroom or in your house or wherever it is. Put it into action because I'm telling you, you know, a book or like a course or anything else, you know, at least from somebody that has something good to share with you, is the greatest bargain in life. You know, you go to a bookstore, you can buy someone's life experience for $20. I mean, isn't that, that's crazy. It's the best value in life is buying a book. So when you buy some of these courses with detailed techniques and strategies and techniques, you're just, I'm sorry, but you're a lazy idiot if you don't put a plan together and then follow one, then step two, then step three, step four. Stop trying to do so much at the same time You know, that's another thing, Frank, I said recently when we were at the big seminar on that panel, when a lot of people were very excited after hearing you give your presentation about your method of just creating a bunch of small websites that are little underachievers that just make a little bit of money because all of them together make a lot of money. And I made it a point, I think, if you remember, I said, but listen, don't make the big mistake of trying to do several projects at once. Four or five projects on the drawing board aren't going to do you any good. You're not going to be able to pay your rent or pay any bills or make any amount of money or even grow your business if you have an existing business until you put the first product on the drawing board into place, getting it done and getting it out there. So get back to talking about some of these other products. But a lot of people, you know, you're right, and I tell people the same thing, and once they do have some internet marketing products, it's the same thing. Don't buy my stuff. You already bought a bunch of other people's stuff. Even if I may be able to teach you some, you know, some different techniques, it's, you're doing yourself a disservice by just, you know, charging up your credit cards and going into further debt by buying product after product after product. If you're not doing something now, if you have an existing business and you are making money, I'm glad I thought of this because this is a great point to make. If you have an existing business and you are making some money, you know, and you're just looking for ways to grow your business, never stop learning from others. Never stop maybe going to seminars and buying other courses and products. I do it on a monthly basis. Frank, I know you do it as well.
I get in trouble for it. I get cluttered
up with your wife.
My stuff. My wife actually demanded that I buy a separate shelving unit for Dan Kennedy Materials the other day.
It's
stack beside my bed, and then I wonder why I can't sleep because I listen to a tape of his, and I'm up all night, like, God, you know, brain's gone. So yeah,
that's pretty sad. But anyways, no. But yeah, the point is, you know, so if you're at ground zero, having invested money into learning, you know, about internet marketing or direct mail or whatever it is, and you have nothing to show for it, you've made nothing, you need to spend some time, you know, with the products you've already purchased, with what you're hearing on this call, with what you can find out for free on the internet from people's newsletters. There's a lot of great information, you know, given away in people's newsletters. I don't mean to make this a plug for my newsletter, but marketingsecrets.com, you can sign up for my newsletter for free. And I have a lot of people that email me and say, man, you know, that's better than some paid products that I've purchased. So, and Frank, what's, I know you've got great content to your list that you send all the time, too. What's one of the sites that if...
I'll tell you where you can get some free...
Because some of my customers are on this call, and they haven't been exposed to your stuff.
I haven't exposed myself to them yet, but it's...
Well, you know what I mean. That's why I bring this up. It's not to, like... pitch anything. We're not selling any products. We actually are doing this just because we want to help people. But if they want to get on our list for free to get more content, to learn some stuff.
Let's see. You can join one of my lists where you get some free videos. You can go to elitemarketingclub.com, E-L-I-T-E, marketingclub.com/ opt-in, O-P-T-I-N, .htm or html. I can't remember. I'm not in front of the computer, and I've been up for a long time talking about marketing. But one of those two URLs should do it. I'm so focused right now on doing niche marketing stuff that I don't really promote my list. But, of course, obviously, everyone's welcome to join and, you know, jump on in and have some...
But there's a good example. You can get a lot of... You can go to either one or both of our newsletters and sign up, and there are several people... You know, you can do some research online and find others, but you don't need to keep spending money. If you're not making any money yet...
And you're,
you
not
know,
using the stuff you've already bought.
Yeah, I would buy some Dan Kennedy stuff if you haven't bought anything yet, you know, or we can talk about a couple others, but stop buying stuff, you know. Take the money you would have spent on products and, you know, buy some pay-per-click ads, and we can get into more about that. But, you know, stop buying courses and stop. And here's my point. I said it earlier about myself. Stop buying the hope. Really. Stop buying these lottery tickets and feeling good. Because, I mean... You know, this is a tough thing, and someone actually sat me down several years ago and basically smacked me in the face with this and said it to me, and it, you know, it kind of got me down because I got a little depressed about it, but it's the truth. Buying that stuff and not doing anything about it, it's just buying hope, and it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of your money. So I'm telling people that are listening to this, stop doing it yourself. Stop buying crap and products, even if they are good, unless you're going to put them to work. So, but on the other side of it, if you are making money, you know, like that Frank and I have both been fortunate enough to be able to do, continue learning from other people. You're never going to, I mean, I'm willing to say, you know, I have tremendous experience having been marketing on the internet itself since the web started, you know, at least in the commercial form. And I will never know it all and not even close, although I do have a tremendous amount of experience, and I have been successful, and I'm sure I will continue to be successful. I'll grow my income by learning to adapt some other neat ideas that other people figure out. So I buy people's... If you come out with a product, you know, where you have experience, where you figured something out on the internet for you know, getting traffic or converting traffic or any part of the equation, I'll probably buy it from you. I mean, that's how I am. But I have an existing business. I can afford to do so. So I just want to throw that out there. So if you haven't made any money yet and you've already invested some money, stop buying stuff. You know, if
stuff you bought.
Yeah, if you are an action taker and you are really trying to grow your business, keep learning, keep reading, because that's how you'll end up growing your business. So what's next? Any other products you want to recommend?
Mother of all tangents, I think. Yeah.
Stephen Pierce is if anybody on the call doesn't have that, I think it's a good ebook for people.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, absolutely.
Great product. It's at the-whole, as in WHOLE-truth.com. The product's called The Whole Truth, and there's dashes between those words, so the-whole-truth.com. Stephen Pierce. It's a great book. Had a lot of unique insights and strategies that he came up with, and that's from a guy that wasn't making money selling internet marketing stuff. He was selling stuff to the markets, and I love to see that. I mean, I love to see people teaching marketing stuff when they've, you know, it's like practicing what you preach, that have made money doing other stuff in other markets.
He's not an inbreeder, for lack of a
word. Right. So, what else?
Cool guy.
Any other products you think about off the top of your head?
Carlton, I think we could probably just go on forever about guys who are really awesome, stuff that we recommend. I think, you know, get on Dan Kennedy's newsletter. Something that you can get for free right now, the GaryHalbertNewsletter.com. You know, if you can stomach profanity, which we're all adults here. I mean, if you can't stomach profanity, just lock yourself in your room and never leave the house and you'll be okay. But, you know, anyone else that can handle a little bit of this reality, go read Gary's newsletter archives. The guy's got like probably $500 worth of newsletter archives for free on his website right now, thegaryhalbertnewsletter.com. It's awesome. Amazing stuff.
And so, anybody that's on this call, but I got to say, please don't do it right now just because of all the mail that we've got. My computer's about to croak. And people probably think, oh, that can't be so. It is. Like, there's so much mail that we've got to sort through and probably won't even get to for a few days. And I'll go, hey, look at this unique question. And unfortunately, we just got overwhelmed. But anyone that's on this call right now, how about tomorrow, if you can make a note of this, tomorrow sometime, anytime tomorrow, send an email to questions@marketingsecrets.com. It's the same email that was in the announcement you got about this call tonight. And put in the subject line, resources. And if you'll do that, Frank and I will put together a page with a whole bunch of products we recommend and services, and, you know, some articles and links to our newsletter and some other good stuff for you that you can then come and take advantage of. Because obviously this call is only going to go so long, and there's so much stuff we could recommend that we'd like to. But don't you agree, Frank? It's so much easier if we just put it all on one web page and just let people come get it. But completely free. I mean, obviously, it just goes along with this call. So send an email to questions@marketingsecrets.com and put in the subject line resources, and it'll just know that you want to be notified of that resource page when we get it together, and we'll be able to email you. Because we have no idea who's on this call. We obviously didn't have anyone register for the call. Could be any one of half a million people we emailed this announcement to. So please do that, but don't do it tonight. Do it tomorrow, otherwise
it'll get lost in the flood. Well, let's get to work. I mean, because we got off on a little bit of tangent.
Sure.
People want to hear us talk about other people's products that much. We were talking about the mistake of lowering price instead of adding value.
Right, right.
And I like a business transaction is kind of like a seesaw. You got your product on one end and your product on that end, and that's the lower end right now, all right? And then the higher end that's suspended in the air, actually, this is totally backwards. The end that's suspended in the air is your product. Your customer, your prospect, is on the end of the seesaw that's on the ground. In order to get that guy to jump, in order to get that person in the air and excited and to make that transition to come towards your product, you have to keep on piling value on until that lever finally tilts in the other direction. If you envision a seesaw in your mind and you envision like this big fat blob of a Homer Simpson kind of guy on one end and he's sitting on the ground and your little you know, tape set or whatever is suspended up there in the air, and he's not buying, the only reason he's not buying is because there's not enough weight of value on that product to tilt the scales in your favor. So instead of lowering price, which is kind of like cheating, which is never going to make you any money. You're not going to make money by collecting less money. I mean, come on, it's common sense. Instead of lowering price, simply add more value. Here's how you do it. You sell harder, and that is you look at your copy, you revise it, you say, am I doing as good of a job as possible at fully explaining the benefits of the end result this person's going to achieve by having my stuff? You also take away risk by adding a totally outrageous guarantee. A guarantee that I like to use for my EliteMarketingClub.com site is, hey, if you're a member, you try it out for a month, you don't like it and you think it sucks, let me know, I'll give you a full refund, I'll give you $50 cash, period. I mean, that's a big, bold, gutsy guarantee, but I believe in what I sell. It's not a plug for my thing, you know, I mean, that's not where I'm trying to go with that. Another thing that I use for my niche marketing things that have absolutely nothing to do with marketing is like, hey, if you buy this book about parrots and you don't like it, let me know, I'll give you your money back and you can keep it free. That's adding a tremendous amount of value to that proposition by taking risk away. So now that weight is getting heavier and heavier on your product, and Homer Simpson is getting a little bit more likely to jump up in the air right now. Another way you can add more value, add more weight to your side of the seesaw, is to give away premiums. The best thing you can do, by premiums I mean bonuses, the best thing you can do is to make this thought process happen in your prospect's mind. You want him to say, in his best Homer Simpson voice, geez, even if I don't like the product, I can send it back and get all these bonuses, which are even cooler than the product itself. So I could just pose this guy if I want to, and I'll end up with all these free products, which are really cool, and I can't wait to tell my friends, like, all this free, cool stuff. Most people are not going to hose you, but they at least want to think that they can if it comes down to it. So that's another way to simply add more value. So the three things to do, instead of dropping price, which is our first gut reaction, you know, clinging to life reaction, instead of doing that, sell harder, take away risk, and add more bonuses and values. Things you can do right now to your website, to your value proposition, to make Homer Simpson jump on his end of the seesaw. You got anything you want to add to that over there, Scott?
Sure. There's a lot of stuff actually with this whole perceived value thing and prices and I guess I'll come out and say it. You know, it's funny. It's a lot of amazing tidbits of knowledge are coming out in this phone call. We knew they would. That's why we wanted to do this, because it would be fun and really help people. You can mark this down, and I would listen really closely to what I'm about to say, because this is worth a small fortune. The most successful people online are people that sell expensive products. It's not the $19 ebooks, not the $25 products, not even the $50 products. If you want to be successful online, the higher your prices, the higher that you can get away with making them, the more successful you'll be. It's really true, because all you have to do is sell to less customers to make the same amount of money at higher prices. And Frank's exactly right. You know, a lot of times people go, oh, I just got to lower my price. Having low prices is the last possible thing you want. First of all, and Frank and I have both done extensive testing, the thousands of different people with different products in different markets. But I'm just going to throw out a few points about this real quickly. First of all, sell a lower priced product. If you're testing in a market and you're going to sell something like real cheap, like $19 compared to $50, the type of customer that will pay you $50 for the same product is a different type of customer. I mean, don't you totally agree with that, Frank?
Yeah, totally.
Just a little bit. So, first and foremost, since you're going to build your business off customers, if it comes down to a question between whether you're going to, you know, do a product or do something, if, you know, you can't get away with doing it for $19 or $20, well, you're done. Move along. Game over. Thanks for playing. Move along, as I say. So, first and foremost, think expensive. You know, and the process of selling things that are expensive and perceived value, I mean, this is going to open up a whole can of worms here. We're going to start talking about a lot of stuff, but it's good. People on the call need to hear this. Trying to decide which direction I want to go into next. But okay, here's a huge secret to affiliate marketing. and internet marketing, in case people haven't figured out. What's so great about this stuff, Frank, is that a lot of the stuff that really makes the most money online, a lot of these little secrets and things like that, are just common sense things.
It's totally obvious now.
Saying
them because it's so obvious, but we just
it's funny. I compare it to like a magic trick. Like if you see an incredible illusion that a magician does, you're like, wow, you're so wowed by it. But when he teaches it to you, you're like, oh, it's not so amazing anymore when you see how it was done. Like he had a little hidden string or something, and he was floating a ball in front of your face, or you know. So, but marketing can be the same way. So what I'm about to say are some common sense things, but pay close attention to them because it's very, very important. So let's talk about the internet and the internet marketing in general and the power of affiliate marketing, which we're really going to get more into as soon as we can, hear about JVs and a lot of business you can create with no risk and no money. But we were talking about this earlier, Frank, about you know different affiliate programs. Everyone's missing the boat trying to run affiliate programs or products, these cheap products. If you're going to create a product for any market, if you're going to try to get affiliates for any market, what if you're going to get more affiliates to join you on right away? If you have a $19 product, and I don't care what your commission percentage is, but if you're going to pay, if they're going to earn like an $8.50 commission for every sale of your product, or they're going to earn a $60 commission of your product, Frank, which one are people naturally going to be more likely to promote?
Oh, I think maybe the $60 commission.
Absolutely. I mean, that's common sense, folks, but most people don't realize this. Affiliates are very, very fickle. They're in it for the money. In order to get people to promote what you sell, you got to up the value as much as you possibly can so they can earn more, so you can pay them more. Because the more you can pay, you know, per sale, the more people will be willing to promote your products. That's plain and simple. So this is the other reason to not get into the nickel and dime and cheap products. You know, there are so many reasons why. Refunds are actually lower on more expensive products. Isn't that an amazing phenomenon, Frank, that most people think it would be the other way around?
I have my membership site. I have two levels. One level's closed now, which is a higher priced thing where I offer one-on-one consulting. And then I have another level or tier of the membership where it's just more group coaching, similar to what we're doing now, but it's, you know, several times a month and all this kind of stuff. I send them CDs. I wanted to call us not to talk about that, but my platinum members, very few refunds, just minuscule hassles, if ever. I mean, these are the people that, like, are totally cool that, you know, unbeknownst to them, I would probably talk to them anyway because they're awesome. You know, so, and it has nothing to do with the money. It's just, for some reason, I don't even know why. I won't pretend to know why. But your higher-priced customers are generally speaking, going to be much cooler, you know, much fewer headaches to deal with.
Well, I think, we don't know for sure. And this is what's great, again, about direct response, is that the reasons for why results happen don't really matter. I mean, it's great to theorize and to hypothesize and to guess why, but the results speak for themselves. You test two prices, one sells more. Who cares about why? You go with the results. So, but I will say this. I believe that when people pay higher prices for products, when you're selling higher prices, because buying anything is a commitment when you're selling information specifically, you know, they're putting their trust in you, they're putting, you know, they feel differently about you, about doing business with you if they're willing to give you more money. Because that, let's face it, that's what it all comes down to. When they're willing to dig into their pockets and give you their hard-earned money. So again, perceived value, there's all kinds of stuff to it. Better types of customers that you can sell to for other stuff on the back end. You can get more affiliates by selling more expensive stuff because you can pay a bigger commission and get more people willing to take action. You'll actually get less refunds usually. Now, just a word about the affiliate marketing stuff. You still have to use good fundamentals and good marketing. If you have a website that doesn't convert well, doesn't matter if you got a $1,000 product that you're paying $900 on, if no one ever makes sales, you're not going to survive. And we can get a little more into, we're going to get into that actually shortly here about doing JVs and how to get other people to play. What's that?
Or if the product sucks, I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Again, that's...
a crappy product that's crappy at $19 and then charge $500.
Absolutely. That goes back to what we said about, you know, what we talked about earlier about delivering value. You really got to deliver tremendous value for people. And if that's always in your mind, then all these other things fall into place automatically.
Yeah, there's actually a flip side to the equation, because I personally have five successful businesses that sell very inexpensive products. However, these are not businesses where I plan to go deep. And by going
right.
deep, I mean I don't really plan to mine that market. So we're not saying, you know, everything's horrible if you sell cheap and inexpensive products. It's just don't expect to really break the bank in one market and have a great stress-free life by selling $17 ebooks to one market, and that's your entire business. If you want to sell like $17 products to 50 different markets, and each market buys a couple of them a day, you're going to get rich, and life is going to be pretty easy, because you know if you structure your business right. But if you want to go deep and then make a big impact in one particular market or whatever, sell high-priced stuff and deliver massive value. You can do it. People do it every day.
And it's cool because you have to sell to less people. You know, it's like the end result. You want to make $100,000. You know, if you can do the simple math, you know, if you sell something at $100, you only have to sell to 1,000 people. If you're selling a $10 book, you have to sell 10,000.
And people will pay for information because, you know, we're constantly we lean to slant on the information marketing side of things. People will pay for information where they believe there's value. I'll give you a case in point. There's an amazing marketer, an excellent marketer, a Dan Kennedy student by the name of Bill Glazer. And Bill sells marketing kits for people who own retail clothing stores. That's his niche. Not how to get rich, period. Not how to make money in general as a marketer. It's, I own a men's retail store. I've done exceptionally well. Here is how I built my business. Here's how you, as a fellow men's retail store owner, can build your business. His kit, last time I heard, I was just listening to some tapes with him, his kit sells for $1,100. $1,100 is paper and ink. It probably cost him $30 to make. He's probably going to test higher prices, and people buy it all the time. I mean, this guy's got a huge business, and he should, because he delivers good information that people want, and he uses the techniques we talk about, which is affinity. You know, he's like, I'm a men's retailer, you're a men's retailer, this is specifically for men's retailers, and so forth and so on. So there's a lot of sides to the coin, but as a general rule, charge more for your specialized products, deliver a lot of value, your customers are going to be a lot cooler, and, you know, you've already got the guy with his wallet out, you're going to deliver value and hold up your end of the deal, you might as well charge a lot of money and have to deal with fewer customers.
So get it through your head. Higher prices is where it's at. It's where you need to be, and it's where, even if you do sell, you know, front-end products that are lower priced because you have a more expensive offering in the back end. And let's get into that real quick, Frank. We got a question, you know, from a guy that I believe is in your niche product club. What's the name of that? I don't know the name for your website. You got so much stuff going on.
EliteMarketingClub.com.
And that's where you help people create their own little niche products.
Yeah.
So
primary focus of that is not years how you hear. I mean, it's only if you're into creating and selling information products to highly targeted small niches. You know, that's it. So,
right. And if anyone's on the call, it's going to go check it out. Unless you're going to take action, don't waste your time and don't waste your money. We already talked about that. Stop buying stuff unless you're willing to work. And because let's face it, that little club, EliteMarketingClub.com, that thing, you know, I saw it. You showed me the discussion forum earlier today, which is pretty cool. All those people are active. They're building businesses. So don't mess with it if you're a non-action taker. You know, that sounds really negative, and some people are going like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know. And some people on the call that I know haven't done anything. But, you know, I just get sick of it because I hate seeing people go farther and farther into debt. I did it to myself, and it's one of the biggest mistakes I made. I was able to work hard and turn around. But, I mean, don't you think the same way? You know, it's a real shame when people buy products and don't, you know, put them to use. We already talked about this. I mean, I'm sure you totally agree with me, Frank.
To the person that's in, like, 10 MLM programs, that they pay $20 a month for each MLM program, and they don't promote any of them, they don't make any money, and they're coming to one of us or anyone saying, you know, I just need to make an extra $200 a month, and then I'll be okay. Well, here's how you make your extra $200 a month. Drop the program.
Right.
Screwing around. There you go. There's the money back in your pocket.
It's funny, real quick, Stephen Pierce said something that just laughed for days. He gave a speech, and, you know, he said to people contacting him, how do I make, you know, what's your plan for making, you know, a whole bunch of money in the next 30 days? And Stephen says, man, that's easy. Get a job. You know,
it's
what's that?
Guaranteed me income? Yeah, go get
yeah, you know, it's the same thing. So, anyways, not trying to make this a pitch for your Elite Marketing Club, but
no.
The question came, you already saw it, I think, I don't know if you remember the guy's name, but the question came from one of your customers, one of your list members that got this invitation and asked this question, and he tells, you can elaborate on this because I obviously don't know, but from what I got from talking to you before we got on the phone, he sells an expensive product as his front end. Like, that's what his primary marketing is, where he drives traffic to his site. Because I think, to clarify things, most people think of, you know, direct response marketing, that you sell, the best model is to sell a cheap product first, like $19, and after people buy it, you offer them on the back end. In other words, after they've purchased, you know, whether it's an email follow-up or you send them something in the mail, to promote a higher-end related product to the front-end product, and that's the ultimate model. So why don't you expand upon what he does, and we'll answer that question basically saying that you don't have to sell the cheap front-end product. In fact, because of what we just explained about affiliate marketing, there are a lot of benefits to coming out of the gate and just focusing on an expensive product.
Out of respect to John, and because I don't have his permission to disclose what his business is, I won't talk specifically about his business. But he's in a market that has absolutely nothing to do with internet marketing. It's a neat little targeted niche market where people are passionate about something, and there's good reachability there, and all the criteria is met. And he's got a website, and he sells...
Oh, John is the name of that guy?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were talking about me. I was like...
No, sorry. John's my...
The guy in your club thing. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want to tell a site because I don't want to create...
Right, sure, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, so anyway, he's in, we'll call it, he's in rabbit farming, which he's not, obviously, in rabbit farming, but we'll just say. And he's got several products. One is an inexpensive product about, you know, how to feed your rabbits, and another one is a more extensive home study course about how to have a profitable rabbit farm. And his question is, well, you know, should I focus my traffic on selling this inexpensive how to feed your rabbits and then back in those people... into the more expensive $250 how to have a profitable rabbit farm course, or should I do vice versa, or what should I do? And the true answer is, oh, no. and I'll justify that statement by saying no one's ever going to know until we test the traffic and see what happens. The correct and true answer is do whichever one's going to make the most money. And the only way you know is to test. Now, my gut...
And just to interject real fast, 80% of the questions we got can be answered with, the only way to know is just to test it.
Yeah, and to test and see what happens. My gut reaction, the first thing I would test is I would send traffic to the higher priced version of your offer, because you don't have to make too many sales to make a profit. I mean, if your visitors cost 20 cents a click, let's say you're doing Google AdWords, and you're monitoring and testing your ads and getting a lot of traffic, and you sell one out of every 200 people, well, all right, you're selling one at $250, so you're making, you know, we'll just say you're making $250 profit. You're probably making like $240, or rather, probably like $215 or something. And let's say it's 20 cents a click. Well, you spend $40 on those 200 visitors, so your total net profit is going to be, whatever, $215 minus $40, like, what, $175 or something, if my addled brain is doing the math right. Because you just made $175. If you're selling the lower ticket price and you've got, you know, one out of every 100 people buy, or two out of every 100 people buy, and your little ebook is like $29, you've broken even, or maybe made, you know, $40, or whatever. I don't have a calculator, and I'm talking faster than my brain works. But the answer is, you're going to have a more profitable test, even with bad numbers on the higher priced item. But the key answer there is test. You always just do whatever's going to work the best, and you never know what's going to work the best until you test. You don't have different segments of your market. You might say, well, you know, if we're advertising and these e-zines and I'm buying ads, the most effective way to acquire a customer is to sell this front-end package first and then back-end them. I guess the real thing to do is to market for a while, do business for a while, and establish the mother of all numbers, which is your lifetime customer value. And this is stuff among many things I've learned from Dan Kennedy, and he just drove it home again on the way down here. I was listening to some of his tapes. And he said, listen, if you were to hire me for consulting, this is Dan talking on his tapes, the first question I would ask you is, how much can you afford to buy a customer? How much can you afford to spend to buy a customer? And the only way you can ever tell how much money you can spend to buy a customer is to know how much that customer is going to bring you over the course of their lifetime. So it's a really important number to know is your lifetime customer value. And, you know, if you know that everyone who buys the $30 book is going to later buy the $250 course, and they're later going to buy the $500 super duper course 2000 or whatever, then, you know, your lifetime customer value over the course of 2 years is like $700. Well, hey, if you've got the money, you can spend $500 in advertising to get that one customer.
And just to say something real quick about that. obviously we don't mean like lifetime, like you have to wait 80 years to figure out those numbers. You can kind of get the marketing cycle down within like a couple of years or less to get some really good, and even less than that. But my point is, you know, that's a great point what you're making. It's a very powerful concept. But most people that may hear that go, well,
how the hell am I supposed to know their lifetime?
What do I do? Wait a lifetime
yeah.
to find out that number? So maybe you can expand on that.
Well, the answer, again, is just to test. It's just to do something. Test both angles. You know, I mean, no one's really going to know whether you should try doing the high price offer first or the low price offer or which one's going to work best. You just simply send...
But the point is, once you do have the...
1,000 people to the low price,
right.
which one makes most money? And then establish your numbers from there.
Once you do offer that more expensive thing on the back end, if that's your idea and you have it to do, or do 10 small products first, or whatever the case may be, you'll start to get numbers, and you just go by the numbers. You know, if you can afford to buy, you know, buy prospects, buy traffic, buy leads at a lower cost than what that estimated lifetime value is for someone that normally gets into your marketing funnel and buys X percent by the little product than by the big product, you know, then you'll know.
So the official answer, ladies and gentlemen, is to try both and see what happens, which is all anyone ever does in this game. I mean, it's all total guesswork until you test it out.
But there's a lot of advantages to focusing first on creating a product that's maybe more expensive. When I say more expensive, I'm saying, you know, at least, you know, for most markets in like a $97 range, like $100. Because if you do that,
$500 range a little more these days.
Well, it depends. We'll end up seeing that in more markets. People are going to really go expensive. Because it's, you know, as the game gets more competitive, the ones that will survive will have the more expensive products. But let's just talk about in the short term, at least for some markets, like even some of the niche stuff that you do. You know, the $100 product price is a pretty good price point that I like a lot. I've used a lot, and that's because of this. In most of my marketing, and this answers another question we got from a lot of people. People say, well, what kind of conversion rate should I shoot for? In other words, what's considered good, or what should I shoot for? You know, as far as what percentage of people should I expect that will buy that I send to you know, my site, my sales letter site, or to sell my product? And I like to use 1% as a rule of thumb. Your goal is to create a 1%, is to sell to 1 out of 100 people that you send to your website. You know, some people I have sites, you know, that do 8, 9, 10%. But usually that's hard to do in a lot of markets. So if you shoot for 1% and you get higher than that, you know, you're golden, you're great. But if you do a little bit less, you can still make money. But so a $100 product shooting for a 1% is a $1 visitor value. That's pretty simple math to keep in mind. So as long as you can pay less than $1 per visitor, you can turn a profit on that. That's why I like that. So, but using the same math, drive this through your head. Let's say you're doing a $20 product. In order to produce that same dollar per visitor, you now must have a 5% conversion ratio, sales conversion on your website. You have to sell your $20 product to 1 out of every 20 people that will go to your site in order to produce that dollar. I've got news for people. 5% is very, very difficult. People hear all these conversion numbers thrown around and everything else. And I'm not talking about the conversion ratio that somebody got off the best mailing they ever did when someone really... You know why JVs usually perform really, really well with really high conversion? That's because what we talked about before about pre-selling. Somebody pre-sold it so well, people already sold them. They were going to buy it because they trust the person recommending the product before they even got to the site. So,
you know, like case in point, I bet people who listen to this and go to Dan's site, you know, if 10 people go, I would guess like 8 people probably buy something from him. And, you know, you could twist that and go, oh, it's an 80% conversion. It's amazing. That should be the standard. But, you know, we pre-sold damn stuff fairly well, I hope. But, yeah, it's better.
Right.
But, you know, we just honestly believe in it. So it skews the numbers a little bit.
But to answer that question, you should shoot for 1%. But it's a great analogy that tied into that question about the higher-priced products. You know, I'm almost willing to say you're not going to get 5% no matter how great you are,
you know,
on any product, even if it's only $19, because 5%, that's a really tough one to pull off. So if you go into any market where you have to pay at least 50, 60, 70 cents per click or per visitor in some of your ads, you're going to come nowhere near making a profit if you're selling anything that's less than 50, 60, 70, 100 bucks or more. And that's why. So try to sell more expensive stuff to less people, you know, and the numbers will work out so it's easier to turn a profit.
And while we're talking about conversion, if you want a surefire way to get a banker to laugh, go down to the bank and try to cash your conversion rate. You know, you can...
Or your Alexa rating.
Conversion rate. Yeah, and you cannot cash your Alexa ranking at the bank either. I mean, that's all crap. You know, and this is a great thing. This is like about one of the many advantages of having a higher price product. Let's say you're a product $1,000, you make $1,000 a sale, all right, and your marketing sucks, and you only convert one of 1,000 visitors. But you're getting 1,000 visitors a day, and you're paying 5 cents a visitor for them. Well, you're spending $50 for that 1,000 visitors or something like that. I don't have a calculator in front of me, embarrassing me enough, but I think that it works out. 5 cents times 1,000 is 50. And each $50 in traffic you're buying is yielding $1,000. How many times will you do that? I'll do it all day, forever, the rest of my life.
I might do it a little.
I don't focus too much on it. I mean, I focus on profitability.
Right. Now let's segue into something else here. We're talking about, you know, higher priced products and perceived value. And one of the other ways that you must do to bridge the gap in order to sell higher priced stuff is to sell physical products.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we got a lot of questions about this, and there's a lot of discussion we can go into about this, and we will, but I want to go on record. I said this recently on a message board, and a couple of people got upset about it, but except for rare, rare markets, like some really, really, really small markets, e-books completely suck. And Frank, you may disagree with me on this, and in fact, I know you will in some degree, but because of what I did preface that by saying in some markets, some of the smaller niche markets, it's okay for some really cheap products. But I want to add this, because we're talking about it's easier to make a profit if your products are more expensive than everything else. Try selling an ebook for $100 or for more than $100. I don't care what market you're in, it's almost an impossible sale. Very, very, very difficult to sell an ebook, you know, for like $100, because it just has so much perceived value. Regardless, I don't care if the ebook itself contains the winning lottery numbers for the next 10 years. People think of the perception of what they're getting for their money, that the format, you know, the mode that it's delivered in.
Well, they've been conditioned.
And they've been conditioned. Not in all markets, though. There are still some markets that it's has high perceived value because of you know, the digital download, the instant gratification, and we can talk into how you can still take advantage of that with what I like to think I was one of the first people to ever do it, what I call hybrid product delivery. That's having a product that's both digital and physical. It has components to both of those things, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I'll flip this over to you so you can actually talk about more about the perceived value of physical products, Frank. But yeah, so, you know, let's raise that topic to kick around for a little bit about why people need to start looking into doing physical products.
Well, actually, I want to back up.
Okay.
Defend.
Go ahead.
The ebook a little bit, because I have great success selling ebooks to very small, obscure, weirdo markets. But in, I don't go for depth in any of those markets. I don't go for total massive world domination in any of them. My formula is basically find a market that really wants something bad, that, you know, they enjoy this particular aspect of their life, and make an ebook that's totally tailored to exactly what they want, and then sell it to them, and just try to make a couple sales a day in each market, and you make a tremendous amount of money due to the volume, because you have a large number of underachieving websites. And that's
right.
That only
works in a market where you can target a traffic source. We can talk some more about that a little later. Where you can buy the traffic cheap.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, in the grand scheme of things, you are fighting against that conversion number. And, you know, in a lot of markets, traffic isn't cheap anymore. And I think over time, it's only going to get more and more expensive. So it becomes a little harder to turn a profit in some markets selling ebooks.
Yeah, you have to know the right way to go about it.
And you really have to know all your numbers. Again, this whole thing is about fundamentals.
Yeah, fundamentals of math. I mean, if I can buy, you know, if my highly targeted weirdo little niche product sells 2 out of every 100 visitors, and I'm paying 5 cents per visitor, and I'm selling it for $27 and making 24 in profit on every order, that's, you know, I'm making about $50, and I'm spending 5, so I'm making 45. So that's a great way to make money, especially if you have, like, you know, 50 websites that each do that every day. You actually make $1.2 million a year or something like that. I have to calculate in front of me. But that's just an entirely different strategy. I really don't want to dedicate this call to it because I think we confuse people when that
actually
inherits its own, like, hardcore, in-depth explanation.
Way to go. It's all your fault. You confuse people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I'm going to speak Spanish now. But, yeah, physical products rule. Physical products totally rule. I mean, everyone gets excited when you get something in the mail. And that's, like, one no-brainer, obvious reason why you should spend physical products. Secondly, we're conditioned to spend more money on things we get in the mail. You know, so, I mean, yeah, definitely do physical product. You have what people call the thud factor, and the old direct mail guys would say, you know, you have the ability to give people the thud factor when they receive your package, and that is they have this big box of stuff, especially if you're in the information marketing business. You can send them a big box of stuff, and it makes a thud when it hits the floor. There's so much stuff. You can't do that with a download, and therefore you experience more buyer's remorse with downloads if you charge a lot of money in most markets. And again, we're generalizing a lot here, so, I mean, you know, don't take this as gospel, but it's just like as a general truth. Second of all, when you're selling physical products, you can do things like put a ride-along in there for another offer. You know, like if I was selling a course on making money on the Internet and, you know, I was selling a lot of them, I might want to pop in a little sales letter for John's auction video and say, hey, you're interested in Internet marketing. If you apply these direct response marketing principles to eBay auctions, you can really rock the house because no one else is doing it and all your other competition has no idea how to sell stuff. If you want to learn about how to set things up on eBay, you might want to check this out. It also conditions people to receiving things in the mail from you.
And they think of, they perceive the things they get in the mail as being of higher value than just something that's electrons that go into the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, can't we both agree about the fact that if you are ever going to sell anything expensive, you're not going to do it with a digital product? Not easily, anyways?
No way. It's not going to be easy.
So then,
software might be easy, but even that's hard. You know?
So then you got to go to a physical product.
Yeah.
You know, people go, oh, physical product, I don't want to write some huge manual. Well, there's a lot of different kinds of physical products you can make. You can just sit down with a microphone, record some audio, or if you do one of those interviews and have that transcribed, which can take up a lot of paper room in bulk, or put it on a CD that you mail someone. That CD they get in the mail, man, and they can listen to in their car or on their Walkman or whatever. That CD, just having something they hold in their hand will make them feel, again, it comes back to delivering value. It makes them feel like they really got their money's worth, rather than if that same audio was just downloadable. I mean, those are the facts.
You know, like, and again, I mean, going back to Dan Kennedy, I was listening to Dan's presentation on tape because I couldn't make it that he gave at the last system seminar that Ken put on, and Dan was saying, you know, so many people who are in the membership subscription model online, you know, where they have like subscription websites, membership websites, and so forth, and their biggest gripe is they got a lot of people coming in and buying, but they got a lot of people dropping off every month. And Dan's comment was like something like, yeah, no wonder, dummy. I mean, you're charging people's cards, and then you're making them go get the stuff. You know, I'm giving you money, but now I have to, like, get up, get on the computer, type in your website, type in some username and password, and get the stuff. People want things delivered to them. So it's just another, you know, I mean, we're conditioned to do this. Why, you know, why try to buck the current, like, 100, you know, over 100-plus years of buying behavior?
And another, you know, incredible benefit for people that are on the call that don't have any experience with selling physical products, that's a really big one, is the refund rate.
Much lower.
And, of course, you know, people, if they have to return the product to get a refund, go back to the post office, wait in line, box it up, tape it up, you know, find the right postage amount, you know, and send it, figure out if they're going to use UPS to send it back or if it's just regular mail or FedEx. Whatever. I mean, most people just won't go through the trouble and are less likely to refund the product. Again, if you make a really good product and strive to over-deliver, you'll have lower refunds anyways. However, you're never going to, no matter how good your product is, I'm sure you can agree with this, Frank, no matter how good your product is, you're always going to have people that take advantage of the refund. And I don't want to say people are dishonest, like they just get it, copy it, read it, if it's information or software, and just send it back because they're stealing. There'll always just be people that you just can't please. you know, even if they don't want the product anymore, or they tried it and it didn't work for whatever reason. So one trend that's really, really on the rise online is you know, I consider it like consumer fraud. It's people that just buy an ebook and then put in their, you know, it's and I really don't sell many ebooks, but a lot of my friends that do, you know, that I talk to them about their business, they say, you know, it's a joke that I get refunds within like 30 seconds. You know, they look at the date and time stamp of the order and the request. They get refunds within like 30 seconds or a couple minutes of making a purchase for an ebook that's like 200 pages. You know, and they say, I read the product, I didn't learn anything new, or
I
read the product, I didn't, it just wasn't for me. I didn't get it. Well, how the heck can you read a 200-page product, let alone, or even 20 pages, in 30 seconds? It's just people that are now conditioned to say, hey, you know, I know I can buy an e-book, download it, and just I can get my money back just by sending an email, and I still have the e-book. So, unfortunately, there are a few people that are dishonest that are out there, and they're doing this. And so refund rates for e-books are on the rise because it's so easy to request a refund and to get your money back. So
let me get some in-the-trenches covert knowledge from outside of our world. That is true primarily, from my experience, only in the Internet marketing market.
Okay.
Which is more fuel for the Internet marketing sucks fire. You know, this is a rough crowd to sell to. If you're new and you want to make money online, for God's sake, sell to other people. I have five other businesses. They all sell inexpensive ebooks to highly targeted, very easily reachable people, and I know exactly what they want. All of my websites say, if you don't like this ebook, you can request a refund and you can just flat out keep every single thing you purchase for free.
So most of those refunds really come down to if the product's good or not.
And it's very low refund rate on all of them. Except for my parent book, which now the refund rate has plummeted because I had it rewritten. So now it's better, you know, which is go back to, hey, just have it good enough to get out there and your market will tell you if it sucks. But yeah, all of them have a really low refund rate because they're outside of this market. But, you know, if you're selling to the biz op make money crowd, count on a high refund rate. You can have the greatest product ever. You know, and then they're going to refund you, especially if it's downloadable, because they, you know, they just, I don't know why, actually, I have no idea, they just do that. So, yeah, but they're much less likely to box something back up and ship it and all that kind of stuff, totally.
So let's talk for a second about this, what I consider hybrid product delivery, and that's, I think, in my opinion, the ultimate product is the best of both worlds, and that is having a product that's comprised of a digital component as well as a physical component that you actually send to someone in the mail. And that's because you get all the benefits of having a digitally delivered product. They can buy, you know, the instant gratification. They can place their order at 3 o'clock in the morning while they're surfing the Internet, you know, start getting some value for their money right then and there by being able to download something. However, they'll also receive something in the mail, and that little something is what they have to return to get the refund. But the something that they get in the mail also adds to the perceived value and makes the product just that much better.
It's really one of the most brilliant marketing concepts I've ever seen. And it's, you know, it's awesome, and I think you're the guy that came up with it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
You actually accomplish both things that people want. You're able to get the sale and to, you know, to give them the box of stuff. And you're also able to give them that. I mean, people buy online because they want to buy right now. You know, people buy ebooks because they want that information right now. I don't think there's anyone in the world that would prefer reading 200 pages of information on their computer screen over having it printed out for them in a nice binder. I mean,
I wouldn't.
Very few. No, hell no. I very rarely read the ebooks I get. I mean, it's work for me. But, you know, if it's printed, I'll read garbage just to read it so I can go to sleep. but it's so easy to finally to tilt the scale to you know, tilt your end of the seesaw the right way you want it to go if you can tantalize that person with the immediate gratification, because nobody wants to wait. I mean, how many times have you, like, you know, gone to the store and you were going to get something, say, like, my buddy Ed Dale, your friend and mine, Ed Dale, just bought a new laptop computer. Ed hates to wait. He wanted to get the lime green, super Alienware, like, awesome laptop computer. They didn't have lime. He was going to have to wait to get the lime green one, so he got a silver one because he didn't want to wait. I mean, people will change their buying behavior, and get something that you don't want as much just so they can have instant gratification. So when you have the best of both worlds, it just tilts the scale in your favor more.
Yep, so having, I personally think that's the future, is these hybrid products. So the way to do that is basically to, you know, have some online resources or maybe, an e-book of some kind, like a manual of some kind that is digital, or some audio information they can start getting their hands on their computer at least, while you are sending the rest of the product in the mail. So, and we can go deeper to that. We really don't have time tonight. I have some other thoughts on this hybrid product stuff that I'm doing. And one of the keys would be to make the components different in such a way that together they complement each other to make the complete product, but where one isn't, the end all for part. In other words, kind of think of it like the downloadable part would be a secret recipe for creating something amazing, and the physical part that you're going to get in the mail is a book of resources where you can actually buy the ingredients. What's that?
Or the immediate download could be the plan to make the amazing thing, and the thing you send in the mail is
all the parts.
Pieces that
you right, exactly. That's a great analogy. So, because if you do that, then it really puts value on both, and they refer back to both. And there's some other great benefits of doing the hybrid product stuff, and a real good model that I like that I did with my auction product was that I give people access to a resource site. That's kind of the digital part, where I, update with articles and links to recommended products and things like that, and other resources and things of that nature, and they get just free lifetime access to it. The other, I'd like to think, brilliance behind why I did that was because online, a lot of people don't have any loyalty to you when they're buying from a lot of different people and they're getting email from a lot of different people. So if you're doing back-end offers by email, you're always just one click away from people basically being off your online customer list. Because you can't really, even with offers, again, this is common sense, but I think most marketers haven't really thought this through, and even some successful marketers that are friends of mine, if you're going to do an offer online, you still really need to give people a way to unsubscribe from your email list. That's just the etiquette of the internet. Even though they've bought something from you before and you have an existing relationship and a reason to email them. So, I've seen it with some of my own customers in different markets. A lot of people just say, hey, I'm not interested in any offers you have to make. Take me off your list. Well, one of the elements that this resource site, one of the purposes that it serves, is the fact that they don't want to unsubscribe because they'll lose access to this free resource. So that's another reason. It's kind of like killing 12 birds with one stone, really the reason why all this came about when I was really thinking about the business. So it basically forces them to continue to receive email from me forever for as long as they want to access this free great resource.
Which is it's a pretty good resource. I mean, it's
not, yeah.
No blowing smoke. Now, here's another great thing about hybridization in terms of from the marketing end. You have a friend, I have a friend. I'm not going to say the guy's name on the call just because he hasn't given me permission to explain the details of his business. But he sells a thing, and his thing sells for $19. And he recently started sending his customers a postcard in the mail that sold another thing for like $300. He's got one out of four people that buy the $19 thing that receive his postcard in the mail, which costs him like a whopping 30 cents to send, that buy his more expensive product. So, I mean, when we get this tunnel vision of internet marketing, we screw ourselves totally. Because internet is simply just a media. John's friend and my friend, Ed Dale from Australia, who some of you guys who are Ken McCarthy System members have met. I'll be giving people an opportunity to hear from Ed on maybe a future call. We're putting something together. But Ed Dale totally proved this point beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'd really rather him tell you this, but I'll just say that he had a website selling an inexpensive product. He was selling in the downloadable format. It was doing okay on the internet. And he used some offline methods to advertise that. Ended up selling seven 1,000 copies of that one little downloadable ebook from one offline ad. His ebook was $20, and they made. I'll let him tell you, and in later days, I'll let him tell you exactly how to do it because I don't want to steal that thunder. But they made a tremendous amount of money, and just like my other friend, who out of respect to him, I'm not going to disclose who the guy is. He didn't give me permission. Ed did, but you know, this person, for every four customers he brings in, he sends them a postcard. He sells them the big expensive course from a postcard, and it's offline. So it's extremely powerful stuff. Very few people do it, and it gets back to this marketing inbreeding that we've all done. It's common in every industry, including ours. Is, well, we say, okay, well, you know, here's how you do it. You build a list, send them email offers, send them to a website, they buy your stuff, you send them more email stuff to back end them, and then you send them email stuff and tell them to buy other people's things too. And yeah, that model works, but it can really, really be expanded upon. And the mistakes we all make by not doing that expansion, but the gold is there. I mean, it's such a low-hanging fruit right now. Nobody's really hybridizing, and it's perfect opportunity for all of us just to go and do the obvious stuff that works before everyone else does it.
Speaking of exactly that, here's another question we got from quite a few people, and they were asking about offline marketing and offline advertising.
And you want to share your story about that you were telling me today? About the newspaper thing?
Oh, this was the USA Today that you were talking about?
Yeah.
This is great. I was, you know, just jumping on my computer and checking my sales stats. It's so fun just to see the money come in on the computer, which is just a great thing about this business. And Frank was kind of just peering over my shoulder, and he says, "Hey, what's that?" And he saw one of my campaign names on my stat sheet, and it said USA Today. And it was an ad that I ran in USA Today for one of my products, and just one of the offline ads, and he was asking me how they did. Well, getting to this point about the offline stuff, yes, there's an absolute gold mine in offline advertising. Too many people think the internet in and of itself is just this business world where if you're going to do internet marketing stuff, everything is just only the internet. No, it's just a tool. Granted, it's a type of medium that is different from other mediums like direct mail and TV and radio, and there are some advantages for knowing it inside and out, obviously, to make the most money possible. But yeah, by all means, there are so many other avenues you can use to drive business online or vice versa. You know, you can generate leads offline, drive them to a website and make sales, or produce leads online. Just the example you were talking about a little while ago, Frank, about the postcard mailing, sending them stuff in the real, you know, in physical mail. Tying into the question that somebody was asking to elaborate on, you talking about the newspaper advertising like USA Today, and that ad in general was an ad that cost me about $750, the one that Frank had noticed on the computer, and it produced over $2,000 in orders, and I more than doubled my money, and then on the back end, I made a lot more money, so it was probably, and when it was all said and done, I ended up getting, you know, $4 for every dollar I invested in that one little offline ad that happened to be a classified ad. But this question from this person, they were asking, what are some of the top ways you'd consider advertising offline? And, you know, first and foremost, I think the best one, at least depending on, you know, what kind of business you have, and I'm sure Frank would probably agree, is with, you know, industry magazines, targeted magazines to your niche. You know, if you're selling cat stuff, I think, what is it, Cat Fancy?
Yeah.
Isn't that?
700,000 people search for cats.
Yeah, so targeted magazines are a great place to advertise, you know, whether it's classified or small display ads. Again, you test it. To drive leads online to a website.
Yeah. Well, here's what we have found by messing around with this and by knowing other people and communicating. Right,
conversion rates are much higher.
Well, if it works on the internet, even marginally, the chances are very high
that right.
It's going to work like gangbusters offline, because the internet is what I call the attention deficit disorder vortex. There are so many things that can steal the attention of your prospect at any minute. I mean, you think about, like, selling on TV is hard, right, with infomercials, because you're just one click at the channel away, you know. All you got to do is change channels, and then, bam, you've lost your viewer, and your commercial time's totally down the toilet. With the internet, they're not only a click of the mouse away, there's all these hyperlinks typically on sites to take them to other places, and now you got instant messenger going on. So, I mean, you can not only can you click the back button, hit the X button, decide to play a video game, the phone can ring, someone, you know, can call, someone can show up at the door, but now grandma can send you an instant message over the AOL thing, goes, ding-dong, hey, what are you having for breakfast tonight, and totally break your train of thought. So if you can sell in this incredibly scatterbrained environment that is the Internet, chances are, and this, I mean, I'm not saying it's definite, but from what we've seen, it's pretty damn close, chances are you're going to sell pretty good if you sell to targeted people offline. If you have a message to market match selling the same stuff offline as you are online, you're going to do okay. Case in point, Ed Dale. And I tease you guys with this Ed Dale thing, but I'd really much rather you hear the whole story from Ed than me, because he can...
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and he has some amazing case studies.
He's going to be at the system, too, by the way. So another reason to go hang out with us at the system and buy us beer. I had to throw that in, you know.
But getting back to that, the offline advertising. So there are tremendous opportunities in targeted magazines toward whatever your niche is. And just throwing this out, again, we, you know, Frank and I as marketers, one thing that we really, the mindset we really like to get into for when we create ideas or think of businesses or do anything is this reverse engineering process. We think of the end result and work backwards. So thinking also about advertising in these niche magazines, let's reverse engineer that, thinking if you know there are niche magazines, let's say for this cat thing, that you know that where you'll go and you can find other advertising, and this is an old direct marketing thing. If you observe advertising, you know, if you look at a magazine, you get several back issues, look at all the ads. The ads that continue to run are most likely ones making money, or people wouldn't keep spending the money to advertise. That's a great way to get some ideas about businesses that are working, because not all ads that are magazines are for successful businesses, but usually the ones that continue to repeat are, yeah, that can really, I mean, that's a whole million-dollar course in itself. That can open your eyes to finding product ideas to then take online, maybe to do little e-books like you're talking about, Frank, and some of your niche markets and things like that.
Right.
But anyways, that's another thing. So, but let's think of this process backwards, right? If you go in the bookstore and you look at some of these real obscure magazines, one, I know that the magazine business is very, very competitive. It's very, very hard for magazines to turn a profit and even stay in business. That's why almost all of us have subscribed to magazines in the past that are no longer in business. You know, they come and go. It's a tough, tough business. However, I read some research once that the ones that do survive represent really, really healthy rabid markets. So, you know, railroad, train builder, and some of these real obscure ones, like model train people, the reason those magazines survive is because people continue to buy the magazine, not only buy the magazine,
but buy the stuff in the magazine.
Exactly. They respond to the advertiser's ads, which support the magazine. So if you go to the bookstore and look at some magazines, you know, and trying to see if you can get some back issues, that's not just a brand new magazine, some guy with a bunch of money just...
Don't try, do it. I mean, really, that's...
Right, yeah, really. Go to the bookstore tomorrow. This is a great thing, and Frank and I both do this all the time. Go to the bookstore. That magazine rack is the greatest free research you can do in, you know, for your marketing. So go in there and look for some of these magazines, and those will give you ideas. Again, unless it's a brand new magazine that's maybe going to flop next week, but most of the ones there, I would say 95% there, are ones that have been around for a while. Those represent really good markets. So if you don't have a product yet or don't know of a market to go into, go look at those magazines. Go find some little hobby magazines, some little obscure niche markets, and those can give you some really good ideas. But if you do have products that you can find magazines for, this is an answer to that offline advertising question, those are great vehicles to test ads in. You usually have to wait, you know, month to 2 months before the ad runs, unfortunately. But once you do get past the wait, it's well worth it. I'll just throw you out a quick tip for anyone that wants to do some magazine advertising. Don't ever use a domain name and then put a slash and then put in some kind of word or code that you're trying to track that ad. And throwing this out there, anyone that knows me knows I'm a big testing and tracking freak. I make sure I test and track every different ad source, and everyone should. It's become fundamental thing that you do day in and day out. So if you place any of these ads, you have to have some kind of specific tracking, you know, a specific URL, a specific site, so you know what exactly came from that ad you ran in that magazine. Otherwise, you don't know if it made you any money or not. You don't know if you should keep doing it. So if you run any offline advertising, pay the $7 or the $8, buy a separate domain name, and only use a domain name itself in each ad that you place. Don't use slash whatever else, because most people won't type it in. They'll just type in the root domain.
Yeah, they might. Oh, my God, this is complicated.
Right.
You know, especially if it's not. I mean, we take for granted the computer literacy that's within our own market, which is the internet marketing world. I mean, you know, the guy that's reading Wombat Herding Times is going to be totally thrown by the front slash question mark, you know, CGI bin 04372 or whatever. He's not going to do anything. So, you know, just register wombatherding.net and you have it redirect to that tracking link or whatever, and it'll be fine.
Absolutely. So that's something to remember. You do offline advertising is definitely recommended. And what I mentioned earlier, I kind of spoke over you, I apologize, about conversion rates. You'll find that traffic that comes from offline converts higher than traffic online. And that's for the simple reason that someone had to go through an extra step before they went to the website. They read an ad, they went over to the computer and typed it in, rather than seeing an online ad and clicking and just going there. So the fact that they actually come from, so to speak, the offline world to the online world is like an extra step in the marketing process. So you usually find that leads convert much higher, buy at a higher rate coming from offline than they do online. So newspaper advertising is another real great untapped resource for a lot of different markets. Of course, you just test it and find out, but there are some...
But not all, for sure. Testing's the key.
Yeah, testing's the key. It's possible you may have a product that won't even do well in a niche magazine, even for that exact market. You know what? You test it, you find out. But there are certainly people making millions of dollars a year selling stuff in magazines. It's a fact. You know, millions of dollars a year with successful businesses, direct marketing businesses, advertising in magazines.
The godfather of them all, which is the sales letter sent to the mail. Another friend of yours and mine, and let's not say who he is or what he sold, but he's a guy, sells stuff, relatively inexpensive products, decided he wanted to try to sell something that was like 50 times more than his usual product cost, sent his people a letter in the mail offering it, and brought in $3 for every $1 that he spent in sending him stuff in the mail. And these were people who bought all...
I might do that all day long. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
spend a dollar and make three.
Yeah, I mean, how many times can I put my dollar in the $3 replicator machine, you know, forever? get away from my machine, damn it. It's mine, you know. Get to go
exactly.
Get a replicator. And you know, you can't filter a letter in the mail. You know what's really cool about the mail, and guys like Albert will talk about this all the time, is everybody and their brother sending out email because they think it's free, which it is in a lot of instances, and therefore there's a lot less clutter in the mailbox. Unless you're my mother, who recently went out of town, and man, you wouldn't believe the amount of catalogs this lady gets. It's amazing. But, you know, most people, they don't get that much stuff in the mail. So if you get a hand-addressed envelope from this mysterious source, you're going to open it, typically, if it's done right. And there's, you know, a whole litany of stuff. You can talk about getting A-pile mail versus B-pile versus trash can and how to get your mail read. But very, very powerful, especially if the market knows you. Now, speaking of mail and selling stuff, you brought up a great point in a meeting we were at recently in San Francisco. And you said one of the most powerful marketing strategies or marketing questions that you posed yourself recently was, all right, you know, on a good day, you got 2 out of 100 or 3 out of 100 or whatever people who come to your site buy your stuff. But what are you going to sell to people that don't buy? And it's just been—it's really been an eye opener for me. Why don't you explain that to everybody? I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I'd written that, I'd taken a little notes while we were talking.
No, that's okay. You know, I think if somebody was fortunate to have just me just dump all my secrets of success on their lap, and you know, could learn different things, that's one of them. You know, if somebody asked me what's one of your secrets, you know, well, this is it. And when I think, when I create a new project, and I've done hundreds, you know, specifically for the internet, something that starts on the internet anyways, when I create a new product or project, the first thing I actually think about, and again, it's kind of the reverse engineering thing. I'm thinking of the other side of the coin, not selling that product if people will buy it or whatever else. I think about what, in other words, what am I going to sell or how can I generate income from the people that don't buy what it is I have to sell? In other words, if I'm going to shoot for 1% conversion, one out of 100 people, I will sell the product itself. How can I get it? How can I generate a return on those 99 people that don't, aren't just, those are the facts. They're not going to ever buy that product. And that whole mindset and that whole model behind what I do and what I've become really successful doing, and that's subsidizing, you know, the traffic costs and making more money for people that visit the site by generating affiliate income by offering related products to that market, because as we all know, you go in a bookstore. When have you ever gone in a bookstore, you know, interested in a topic, and you only come out with just like one book or one magazine on that topic? You usually buy more than one. Well, people are the same way with products. You know, if you're interested in cats, you're going to buy a cat collar and, you know, cat sweaters and all kinds of cat stuff, and they'll be from different companies. So you have to drop your ego or drop the process, you know, you're judging people thinking, oh, something's wrong with them if they're not buying from me, and realize that some people just won't buy from you. However, it's a fact, they will buy from other people. They will buy other products. Maybe your style of marketing just doesn't appeal to them. That's okay. Maybe, you know, someone else's marketing will. But why not get paid and be in that process when they do buy from other people? So the way you do that is you build an opt-in list of people that come to your site, and in that list, you recommend and talk about other products, and this would be affiliate marketing products that you earn a commission on, other products related to the product it is that you sell. And one of the things, and again, this is, I mean, we're talking about a multi-million dollar concept here that I use every single day in a wide range of projects. And it's what I call it an ATS, an automated profit sequence. And what this is just an autoresponder preloaded with a whole bunch of scheduled messages that will go out depending on certain days after someone initially subscribes. And it goes out for months and months. And I continue to add to it, so it eventually will go out for years. But somebody basically gets on the list, they're delivered good content, and the bait I usually get for people to get on the list, the model that works well, it's a mini course. So if you write a mini course, and I usually do like a 7-day mini course. That's what I like the most. You break it down into 7 parts. One part will be delivered each day by an autoresponder that will teach them something for free, because it's just free for them to get the course if they opt in, that's related to the product that you sell. And after the course ends, you can then every 3 days, every 5 days, every week, you stagger. You don't send them email every day. You send them little articles or little blurbs or little free bonuses or whatever, but then promote other affiliate products. And then in each one, you always want to link back like a little resource box. This is just my model that works really well. To your site of the original product. So in every email you'll always send them from that sequence, there'll always be one click away from going back to the original site from the product that you were originally trying to sell them. And of course, I get high conversions because I make a lot of sales through the follow-up. There are people that will buy 3 months later when they're still getting communication from you. But I think the key to using that model, and it's one everyone should use, it works like clockwork, is the mini course has to be solid. I mean, it has to be really, really, really good content. And again, this goes back to over-delivering to people. But if you give them really good content for free, what are people going to think your product is? They're going to think it's fantastic, and they'll be more likely to buy it. But they'll also trust you and listen to your recommendations, usually. Not everybody. But so, answering the point you raised, Frank, that's what my mindset is of generating value and generating return, generating profit for the people that don't buy what I sell. And that's how I do it.
As much as we want to be great marketers, it's always, no matter how good you are, there's going to be more people that don't buy your stuff than there are that do. So, I mean, you know, the person's already identified.
So it's your choice.
You, highly motivated by looking, you know, seeing your search engine listing, seeing your banner ad, seeing your email ad or your newspaper ad or whatever about, you know, the topless water skiing or whatever you might be selling. Got on the couch, gone to the computer, clicked on your website, read your stuff, filled in their name and email address. They're clearly interested in this kind of thing. So it's, I mean, it almost goes back to you're simply doing your duty as a person to serve your market by providing them with good information. And let's talk about the bribe that you use, because your 7-day mini course is what I call lead generation magnet. Well, I don't call it that. Dan Kennedy calls it that, and I just adopted the term. What are some other ways that if you don't want to write a 7-day mini course, what else can you do? Maybe,
well, you can hire someone to write it, like we already talked about. I know that's not what you were asking about, but that is a good point. People are like, oh, I don't want to write a 7-day mini course or articles for the sequence. Well, you know what? Pay someone to write it for you, and it'll work, and it'll create income forever. As long as people are getting on that list, they go through the sequence. Yes, some will get off the list at different points, but you know what? It's going to earn you income forever. What are some other bribes? Well, I think you were one of the very first people online to do this, and I have to, you know, pat your back on this. It was a genius concept. You were one of the people, I think, maybe the first and only one in a long time, to do the multimedia bribe. That was a pretty sweet technique you came up with. You want to talk about that for a sec?
I did it out of absolute pure laziness because I don't like to write. And I also got a lot of feedback from my market, which was they really enjoyed my videos. So,
but what did you do? Explain what you actually did for people that don't know.
Well, I did a lot of stuff.
Didn't it start with audios?
It started with an audio ebook, and all I did was I got out the microphone, and I got on the phone, and I called my conference call line, had them record me talking, and edited that recording and made it downloadable, and it was a 4-part downloadable audio ebook, and all I did was transcribe the stuff I was saying. So you could either read it in the ebook, or you could click a link in there and say, click here to listen to this section. And each section was like 15 minutes or whatever, or something. It was like a 45-minute presentation. I just was talking about marketing and stuff. This was for a membership site I had. And it worked really well.
So you bribed people to opt in to get on a list by promising them in return, the actual bribe, was that they'd get this audio file, this interview, this content, this great stuff. And it, you know, you probably didn't expect it to work so well, but it worked like crazy.
It really worked like
because
crazy.
There seemed to be so much. And, you know, it's funny. Direct marketing is all about calls to action, getting people to do something. And sometimes it's just getting people to do something for free, like opting into a list that will make us money down the road. And anytime you try to get people to do something, there always has to be benefits revolved around why the heck they should take the action. But if you can put in some perceived value into them getting something for even going through the trouble, again, even if it's something for free, you have all the elements of something that should work really well. And that audio, you know, or the little videos you did even later when you expand upon that model and I ripped off, seemed like such tremendous value to get for free just to put in their email address. So a lot of people did it.
Well, it comes back to what we discussed.
And, of course, it's different.
On the call, which is differentiation.
Yeah.
In our market, I was selling internet marketing related products. You have to stand out. I mean, everybody, period. And this particular market, which is the how to sell stuff online market, has a 7-day mini course or a free report bribe or a free ebook bribe. So you know what? It ain't cool anymore. I mean, most of you guys go to a site, see the pop up for the free thing. You're like, yeah, neat. Okay, another free thing. So I'll never read the ebook and the guy will send me email for the rest of my life.
Right.
But if it's a video or a downloadable audio or something, it's just a little bit more meat on the hook. You know, it's more stuff on my end of the seesaw to make the transition there. So,
and another great tip to throw out about these bribes, getting people to opt in, is to put a value on something. Just give it a value. You know, opt in now and get this, you know, free mini course or free audio or whatever it is you're giving them, enticing them, that bribe to get them to get on the list. You know, say it's a $97 value or $197 value, right?
So let's talk about the strategy. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's got to be good. I mean, it can't be something crappy. and you say it's a $97 value, people will see through that, and they're like, hey, you know, if this guy's saying that his
right, exactly.
e-book that sucks is worth $97,
then his $200 product is going to suck twice as bad.
Yeah, it's going to suck twice as bad.
Exactly.
You know, why bother? This is crappy. But, you know, when you have a bribe like that, like an audio presentation or a video that's downloadable, which is really easy. I mean, just guys go to TextMyth.com and get Camtasia. It's free 30-day trial. They give you videos on how to make videos. I mean, it can't be online. But obviously, it's not a 7-day mini course. So the way to do it is you teach them to consume it. I actually learned this from Alex Mandozian, who rules, and he's a great guy. And if you want to learn about marketing with postcards, check out marketingwithpostcards.com. It's really cool.
And you already talked about the ask thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, briefly. What's his site?
AskDatabase.com. I use it. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
Data testing right now, but it's get on the list so he can find out about it when they announce its birth officially. But you know, all you do in that is, since you don't have 7 days of stuff to send them, it's only one download. You simply, your first email says, here's where you get the free audio or free video. You know, if I can help you download it, let me know. Thanks a lot. See you later. Second one says, hey, it's Frank again. Just making sure you got the free thing. You know, no big deal. He's, you know, here you go. Just making sure everything's cool. Third one is, hey, do you know the number one way to blah, blah, blah? Well, you can find out on section 4 of your free thing. And you can go straight to it if you want to the exact section by clicking this link right here. And you teach them to consume the very free thing that they got from you. Teach them how to benefit from it and restill it like a stick letter for the free thing. And then you start in with your sequence. Hey, you know, by the way, you might want to check out this thing, you know, you might want to check out tomato slicing for dummies or whatever if you're, you know, a tomato gardening site, and it's just forever and ever, amen, until they buy or they leave. And you know what, dude? I mean, you're the only guy that I know that actually does it hardcore, that really has, like, months out stuff that is sent to them on autopilot sequence.
And what's
and we're all like, oh, yeah, here's what you should do. We don't ever do it. You're the only guy I really know that does it.
And what's crazy is I even need to go even farther out. Like I said, I need to go, like, more than a full year out because I'm costing myself money. Because there are people on my list that have been on for more than 6 months, and in some of these sequences, they've, you know, they don't get mail anymore automatically. Well, those automatic emails, I get paid from those. So I need to, you know, put in the work and either write the content myself or hire someone to do it, just like I'm, you know, I need to practice what I'm preaching here tonight. And expand that, but yeah, it's the greatest technique online, absolutely.
And chances are, if you're recommending good stuff that's a match for the market, you're doing them a service. I mean, I think people subliminally or subconsciously or whatever, like, oh, but I don't want to, you know, sell them stuff. Yada yada yada. One and one. Now, listen, I mean, if you're selling them things that's beneficial to them and they're going to enjoy, then you're doing a good thing. Selling stuff is not bad. You know, doing business is not bad. Money is not the root of all evil, regardless of what, you know, people taught you when you were little. It's BS. Total BS. It's one of the most limiting beliefs you can have. Like the guy that sold me my M5, I love that guy. You know, he sold me a big thing. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it every single day. So, you know, serve them. Just sell them ethically and do it correctly and sell them good stuff. And there's nothing wrong with doing that at all. It's commendable.
So what's the next question that we were going over, the mistakes or whatever? We kind of got off track. Did we go so long?
Actually, the last thing that I had was people shoot first, ask questions later in their strategy. And, you know, that's almost like with the thing when we talk about, especially something that I'm really hardcore into marketing to really targeted little markets, and people tend to think product first. They're like, okay, I need to get into business and sell a product. What product can I sell? It's natural. We all do it. You know, I mean, I did it for years, which is why I didn't make any money for a long time. And the correct thing is, who can I sell to? What do they want? How do I get that in their hands? That's the correct sequence. So it's almost like reverse engineering again. You know, I said this at a big seminar, and it's one of the truest statements you could ever say. A website will never, ever reach into its pocket and give you money. A product does not have a credit card. A product cannot pick up the telephone and order now. Only people can do that. So you need to spend most of your time focusing and knowing and analyzing and learning how to sell to a market first, find out exactly what those people want, and then give it to them. And if you do that, you don't have to be a great marketer, do you? I mean, you know, if you got, I use this analogy all the time. It's been beat to death, but it's really effective. If you got 100 people in the middle of the desert and they're about to drop dead of thirst, how how good of a salesman do you have to be to sell him the map to the oasis? Now, you could speak Swahili and draw a picture of an oasis in the sand and hold out your claw for some money, and people are going to buy the map for you. You know, I mean, and it's possible to find those little pockets of thirsty people all over the Internet. And
right. You raise a question that we got a lot of people asking, and that is, how do I find, like, a starving market, or how do I find a good market? And tying into that, which we can answer at the same time, is somebody asked about overture numbers. Okay, you're looking at the overture search suggestion tool. If people don't know what that is, they can go to Google and type in overture, O-V-E-R-T-U-R-E, search suggestion tool, because it's a long URL, and I don't actually know it offhand to tell you how to get there directly.
http://inventory.overture.com.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
I don't even know. It's all bookmarked on my site. Again, I'm lazy.
Get to work.
Yeah, exactly. So you can use that tool to find what people are searching for online. That's a great way to find hungry markets, to then position yourself in front of that search traffic with pay-per-click search, you know, ads like Google AdWords, Overture, pay-per-click, you know, bidded listings, to get in front of the people looking for those terms, to actually then create products for what people are searching for. So we got a lot of questions. People go, well, how do I find a market? You know, how do I find a good starting market? Or, you know, how do I, you know, and another question related to that Overture thing, which I was talking about, is how do I know how many searches represents a good market? And before we actually, I'll let you run with this for a second, before we actually answer that, the first part of that, how do I find a, you know, a solid market? Well, we've already answered that, at least part of that, and that is to go to the bookstore. Because if you can find offline magazines that support a market that will be online anyways, you're way ahead of the game. Because now, again, reverse engineering, look at your business a couple years down the road. I'd like to say this. Let me just say this real quick. I like to think of this. If you can't reasonably spend, you know, about $20,000 a month on your business for advertising, I don't mean right away. I mean, if your business is cranking and you're doing really well and making a lot of sales.
You mean if it's not physically possible for you to do that?
Right, if you don't have the money. But
yeah.
Let's say I gave you $25,000. I said, go and spend this money effectively to drive traffic for your niche, for your business. If you can't spend money to grow your business, that's an indication that you're in a pretty bad market, unless you plan on doing a whole bunch of sites and a whole bunch of stuff. But to build a business, which I think most people should think about up front, and so, what's that?
If you want to go deep, and if you want to really, like, highly penetrate a market, then,
right.
Yeah, you should be able to spend $25,000.
So, the point is that that's why going and look at those magazines is the best thing you can do, because you'll get best of both worlds with that. You'll get the online market that goes along with it, but there will be some magazines that represent where you can spend some good money as you grow your business to actually have ads in those magazines, like the other successful ads that you will observe if you look at back issues of that magazine. Now, online, how can I use the online tools like Overture Search Suggestion Tool that we just talked about, inventory.overture.com, to find some starving markets, or at least to look and see what people are looking for, and in that process, what's a good number of searches to look for, if that is an indicator or not?
Self is not going to be an indicator. All Overture is an indicator of is reachability, which is one of the key, one of the three primary segments of the market. And I'd like, if I could, to give a primer on the way I approach these small niche market things. Because you've heard me talk about going deep versus
having
a lot of different little mini sites and so forth. One strategy I use, which I call well through a lot of stuff that hardcore direct response market. And it's something that I think is on the Internet right now because the Internet is very inexpensive and sorts quite well, testing it now, and it's awesome. The way the model works, exactly what they want, that you can sell to them, to dominate that market and be the guru or the site's making $1,000 a month. The famous one that I always use as an example is my phone, probably. But that site makes two. Maybe they'll keep you $10 a year. Then that's one cutter made the product. I drive paper and little T's in, which I call the underachiever market. Exciting stuff. I'm not trying to hype you guys up and say you might have to buy it. So, sometimes, a lot of times it means that market needs to be niche more. I need to target a little bit better. For example, cats. I know these are a ton of books, but several books being sold on Siamese cats. maybe this is a good market to go into. However, there are certain market qualities that can lend themselves to favorable conditions if that market does not have a heavy volume of searches. And those qualities are an extreme sense of urgency. If you have a market where people are not searching in great volume, but those people who are searching for stuff about that market have got to have the information, they have to have it really bad, and they have to have it right now, then you have some conditions that support fewer number of searches. I have one person that I recently met, I'm not going to disclose his name or his business out of respect to him, but he does quite well in a market that has 3,000 searches per month. It's very small, but
let me say something real quick here, Frank.
Okay.
You know, people keep hearing, you know, us say that we know if someone has a really successful business, but out of respect for them, you know, we don't want to say their website and things like that for competitive reasons. Let me just throw this out here for anyone on the call. You know, I say it a lot when I do speak at seminars, when I talk to people. You start making money online, don't tell people. And I'm not kidding. The internet is a very competitive space to do business. The minute you start, check your ego at the door, I like to say. If you start making a lot of money, in a small market that you found or selling some products, there's no benefit to you for telling people about it except to boost your ego. The minute you tell people about it is the minute you start the downfall of not even having a business for that market. So, I mean, can't you agree with that, Frank?
Yeah.
Obviously,
absolutely. I mean,
you share some of your sites, but it's out of necessity in order to prove a point because you're trying to teach people. So in order to prove that you practice what you preach, you're forced to, you know, give some case studies and share some inside numbers with people. And, you know, probably on this call you're sharing some stuff you wouldn't normally share. But in general, for anyone listening to the call, you start making money, keep it to yourself. It's your own business. Don't tell other people your business. Don't tell them how much money you're making.
Internet marketing community.
Yeah, because online it's so easy to replicate marketing and ebooks and products. And you'll have 1,000 people doing what you're doing next week if they know it's real profitable. So I just want to jump in and throw that out. Just it benefits you to keep your mouth closed.
Yeah, there. I mean, look what that case in point is. The guy that did, there's a marketer, and he made an ebook about wedding coats, kind of like an ebook of wedding coats. And he said, "Yeah, man, this is really cool, guys. You know, you can actually make money in these little weirdo markets. So look at my wedding toast book; it's doing great. And now you got 10 nitwits out there that go, oh, I'm gonna make a wedding toast book too. You know, listen, there's plenty of money out there for everybody." These principles work universally, so, you know, there's no need to go out there and hork somebody else's idea. So I'm not trying to be all secretive. It's just out of respect for these people. You know, they don't want competitors in their market because these markets are small. A lot of times their markets are so small that there's not room for two people to do it well. You know, I mean, a competitor will move in there and nobody will make any money. Sometimes. Other times there's enough room. You know, so back to the question of how many people should you have searching for a thing? Well, it depends on market factors. If you have a generic thing, like my parents thing, where there's no sense of major urgency, like people don't have to teach their parents how to talk tomorrow or else their life is going to be screwed up or whatever, you know, unless they're like entering a talent contest or something weird, I like to have between 30 and 100,000 people. My ideal number is going to be about 70,000. And that number really has no scientific basis other than it just feels right to me. I mean, I'd love to be able to, like, look smart and say, I've done the incredible market analysis and my years of research, you know, da 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 da. But, 70,000 seems like a good number. It's worked out really well so far. So, that's what I look for. And I hope that answer was beneficial. But listen, a lot of times you just got to follow your gut. If you got a market, you say, man, this is really cool, and there are 25,000 people looking for this, but those people are people who spend like $1,000 a month on this particular thing anyway, go for it. You know, it's not 30,000, it's not between 30,000 and 100,000, but if you have other factors, then make it happen. And the great thing is...
And you got to go deep on your keywords, too, because kind of take all the searches into account, like you're talking about, not just the main term.
Yeah, we haven't gone into great detail about this thing. And it's
but like most people think if someone looks for, chihuahuas or, you know, Siamese cats, let's say, that they're just, you know, typing in Siamese cats rather than all kinds of variations of things related to Siamese cats. Siamese cat health, you know, this, that, and the other. So you can't just go by one term and those search numbers as the as a re, you know representation of the demand in the market, so to speak, for people looking for that stuff in the search engines.
And let me, I guess I should like really clarify the way the basis of the underachiever thing, because we've talked. There are more than one ways to skin a cat that they've used.
Oh gosh,
day ever.
That was bad.
Just talking about cats. And you know, our end result here, our desired end result for me, is to make a lot of money online and to not have to do a whole lot of stuff. Now, if you approach marketing and you go to a market and you want to go deep and you want to like really mine that market out, you're going to have to do a lot of stuff. You have to get to know that market intimately. You're going to have to get to know your prospects very intimately. You know, you have to have this great empathy with them and really stick in there. And, you know, eventually that business will evolve and change, may die or whatever. An approach that I like is to have many different businesses, none of them being particularly spectacular or labor-intensive, but all of them producing little results. The reason why is because if one of them dies, I have a myriad of other businesses to still support my roof. And it's an entirely different approach to marketing. And again, like I said earlier, it's if I were to do it in mail order or something, it would be entirely too difficult. Because of the technology that's afforded to us with pay-per-click advertising, the fact we can throw a one-page website up there and sell stuff fairly easily and inexpensively right now if we choose our markets correctly, that's why it works. And it's extremely powerful stuff, and it's gotten really, really popular. So it's another way of looking at things. I don't want you guys to think we're giving contradicting advice or whatever. It's just the different approaches to different markets. A lot of people might be very intimidated by, man, I need to go really deep, learn this market, have a big mailing list, develop this high-end product. This is intimidating. To heck with it. I'm just going to go back to my job at the salt mine. Well, you can succeed by building a small website, sell them a $20 ebook, sell a couple a day, and then repeat the process in a different market. Because when you come down to it, at the end of the day, selling stuff is selling stuff. If you're selling stuff to doctors, selling stuff to lawyers, bakers, candlestick makers, as Dan likes to say, you know, all these guys still worry about their breath stinking in the morning. All these folks want to look better. All these folks have the exact same emotional triggers that the other person has. So, you know, selling to people is selling to people, and if you find hot buttons in one market, you know, you can use the exact same strategies in another.
I want to jump in here real quick. We got 21 minutes until midnight, and we're going to end the call at midnight because that's all we pretty much put in to reserve the line. This is awesome. It's gone 4 hours, it's going to be.
We were worried we wouldn't have enough stuff to talk about.
So there's quite a lot of questions. There's quite a few questions that we still want to cover pretty fast. So we're going to pick up the pace here and pound a few out really quick. Were you done on what you were talking about? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I think it's something that could merit like days of discussion. It's an easy to implement system, but there are a lot of steps. And I'm not trying to shortchange you guys by not revealing the whole thing, but really I couldn't do a good job of it in the limited time that we have together right now. So.
And this was a lot of fun. We may actually... I don't know about you, Frank. I'd like to do this again sometime. So,
yeah,
I'm sure you're getting a lot out of it too. It's great. It's just because we're so passionate about it. It's just fun to sit around and talk about it. I mean, that's what we've been doing for 2 days by ourselves. So, we'll probably want to do this again. So let's jump into JVs real quick because I want to talk about something. A question we got from so many people was about traffic. What's the cheapest way you found to generate traffic? How do I go about getting traffic? What's the number one recommended way for getting traffic? There were also questions related to how do I get other people to promote my products? How do I do JVs with people? And so how do I build an opt-in list quickly? What's the cheapest way to build an opt-in list? So, or I have a limited budget. You know, what can I do to grow my business? What exactly would you do? So, I'm gonna put this in a direction. We're gonna answer about 1,000 questions like those I just mentioned. In one quick topic, and basically what that is doing JVs or joint ventures. And basically what it is when you have your own product, and this is, again, another reason why you need to have your own product. You don't have, you know, and we can talk a little bit how you can get people to do marketing with you, or we'll probably have to say that for another call because we don't have time, but if you really want to get people to promote your stuff for you where it will be free, no risk to you, doesn't cost you a dime, where you can make a whole bunch of money and build your business, you got to have your own unique product. So you got to have your own product. you got to have like an affiliate program, or, and when we set up that resource site I was telling you about, we'll link to some affiliate program software and services you can use to do that. And we'll list all our favorite tools for testing and tracking and all that kind of good stuff. So if you have any questions about tools, we're going to link to all that good stuff and put some, maybe fill up some reviews if we have time to write them out for those. But so, JVs, how do you do it? How do you get people to promote your stuff? It's real simple. The first thing is you need let me just go over my strategy for rolling out a new project. You get a product made, you know, whether you hire a ghostwriter to do it or you do it yourself. By the way, someone had another question that came in recently. They asked, do you put your name on a product created by a ghostwriter? And the answer is, of course, yes. That's what ghostwriting is all about. You're buying the rights to it. You own it forever. You make all the money from it. That was the deal when you hired them to write it. And you put your name on it as if you wrote it. I mean, people do this all the time in, you know, the real publishing world, with real-world books you see in the bookstore. A lot of those people didn't write them.
Very popular huge, mega real-world books do that.
So, in a nutshell, there are multiple ways to roll things out, but here's the quick version. You create the, obviously, using some of the techniques Frank talked about, you can survey markets. You can run some AdWords for some markets you're thinking about. Ask those people questions. What's your most common question that you'd like answered about a specific topic? And then formulate your product around that. But when you got a product done, it's ready to go, and you have a sales letter to sell it, and you have everything in place to start making sales, the first thing you want to do is run some Google AdWords. You can get traffic within 15 minutes. So you go to google.com and you buy some AdWords traffic. That's at adwords.google.com. Set up an account. Pick your keywords. Start driving traffic to your site. The first thing you got to do is get your metrics down. You got to send enough traffic to where you kind of know what your visitor value is. In other words, take the number of sales, the total sales volume you get for every 100 visitors, divide it by 100 people, and you get an average value per person. So you got to get your metrics down before you can do any kind of JVs or expect to get other people to promote a product. So once you have that down, you got to get it satisfactory to a satisfactory stage to where it's converting well enough to where it'll be worth someone's time to promote it. So again, shoot for 1%. If you get about 1%, and it's at least like a $50 product or more, that's enough to usually start with, because when people pre-sell it and when they do endorse it, you'll get higher conversions. So don't even try to get someone to promote anything before you get your numbers down and get the process working, your sales letter works. You know, you'll split test things, you'll test prices. That's actually one of the first things you do when you are testing your visitor value. You'll test different prices to see what produces the highest visitor value. So you get your metrics down. Then here's what you do. You go and do a JV with one person. That's it. All you need to do is find one person that will promote your product to their list. That's it. One person. Then what you do is you take the results of that one JV, in other words, what the conversion was as a result of them doing a mailing for your product, like to their list, and then you leverage those results, that proof, into getting other partners. One of the greatest processes of marketing, one of the greatest things that works so well for marketing are testimonials. And the reason behind testimonials is because when someone is considering making a decision of any kind, it's easier for them to make the decision if they can read or hear or learn about someone else that's already made a decision they're about to make. So that's why testimonials work so well for product sales. Well, here's some news for you. And, you know, this, again, you're getting inside stuff on this call. There's a lot of marketers, even good marketers, that don't do this. So you go and do this, you'll be way ahead of the game. So when you do JV proposals to get other JV partners after that first one, and let's hope the first one went well. If you did have your metrics down before you got them to do it, it should go well. If not, go back to the drawing board and test things and get it improved. So then what you do is you get a success story, basically, from that one JV partner. You get a testimonial from them stating how they, you know, how well it converted, you know, but you put down some numbers. You leverage that first person's JV of your product, their endorsement of your product, to get other people by giving results. Here's what somebody else that I did a JV. You give them all the benefits of why they should promote your product and how much money they can make and stuff, but they say, you know, look, here's someone else that recently promoted my product. In other words, here's someone else that did make the decision you're about to make, or I'm asking you to make, and here's, you know, here, in other words, what's in it for them? It needs to be about what's in it for them. So, you know, they sent so many clicks, here's what the conversion rate was, here's the paycheck I'm going to look forward to paying them a month from now. And then you'll get a few more people to do JVs, and then you use their success stories. And you can leverage it by using the best ones to then go and get more people. I got news for you. You do a few of these with just a couple of people. See, everyone's so worried about doing 20 and 50 and 100 JVs, which can make you rich if you do them. But again, we reverse engineer the process. It all starts with doing one JV, not 100. If you do one successfully, you can leverage that into 3, 5, 10, 20, 1,000. And you do it by proof and results. So you do one successful JV, get a testimonial, use the results, and then use that to approach other people. And that's how you do it. That's the best way in the world to grow an opt-in list the fastest, to make no-risk sales. If you have no budget whatsoever, it's like sweat equity you put in your business. It's labor that you can do. You pick up the phone, you can call some people, you get them to do JVs. It's not costing you any money at all. And you do business that way. And then you can take that money by advertising. But there's so much money you can make without ever buying traffic at all, just by doing joint ventures and getting people to promote your products. And most people that joint venture with you end up just being affiliates and put a permanent link to you on their site, and you'll continue to build, you know, it's about distribution. You'll continue to get distribution for your products through affiliate links and then grow over time. And the other great thing about having an affiliate program is it's viral. You know, as more and more traffic comes to your site, more and more people can see, like, your affiliate link on the site. They'll become affiliates themselves. They'll then link, and you can generate more and more traffic. But that's the key to doing JVs. Do it with one person, leverage those results, and then use the results to get more people. That's the way you do it. And there's so many people that aren't even doing that. It's, and have been successful, which is crazy. You want to add anything to that, Frank, real quick?
Yeah, you know, you and I both reviewed a question from someone we both know, and this person's question was, I got this thing, I got this product, and, you know, I had it, and it was a long and semi-involved question, but our interpretation of it was, how do I get people to, you know, send out promotions to their list for this thing? It seems like my joint venture requests are getting rejected. And the answer, in my opinion, and I received a joint venture solicitation for this particular event, and I've declined to send it out to my list. So for one reason, I was already committed to send a mailing to my list for that particular day. But another reason, I didn't think it was something that anyone wanted. So people are not going to send out endorsement letters and become your joint venture partners, especially in the internet marketing community, just because you ask them to, unless they're like long-term friends of yours or something. I mean, you know, I mean, a guy like John could say, hey, man, will you send out a test mailing for this thing and tell me how it does? I'll say, yeah, sure. You know, I don't care. I don't even care about getting paid for it. But typically, in this market especially, people ain't going to do it unless they think they're going to make a lot of money. And in any case, to get someone to take a desired action, you got to sell them on it. So, you know, you got to have proof. Well, here, your list is going to love my whiz-bang product. Well, in this community, people with lists hear that all the time, and it's typically for stuff that's crappy. So, you know, it's you got to have facts. Your people got to want your stuff. I mean, if you're selling something and no one wants to send out an endorsement for it, you know, maybe you're either not approaching it correctly, or it very well could be just a bad offer. They might say, I don't want to send out an endorsement for this thing. No one wants it. You know, why would I want to waste the mailing? So I guess the key to having joint venture, to having good joint venture partners, aside from having just totally undeniable proof that your stuff will make them money, is to have a no-brainer offer. You know, I mean, like if John came to me and said, will you endorse auctionsecrets.com for me to my list, I would do it regardless of whether or not I knew the statistics, not because I know John personally and he's my friend, but because I know it's good and it's a great offer. And I said, well, you know, anyone that's with half a brain is going to buy this thing if they're into auctions. I might as well try it. Same thing with one of Armin's products. You know, Armin Morin doesn't have to come to me and say, Frank, will you endorse my products? You know, so-and-so sent out an email for it and got this response. Or Stephen Pierce certainly doesn't have to give me any statistics because I know his offers are always very good. And his products are good, too, but his offers are always structured in such a way that they're just geared for response.
And you know he has his fundamentals down, that he's going to put together marketing that's solid and test and everything first before he rolls it out. You know, he's not just going to come to you as a guinea pig, and, you know, so you the odds of you making money are very good if he comes to you with an offer.
Now, think about if you use this technology and these strategies of, like, selling someone, and not, like, selling them being corny, going, you're going to make a ton of money with this, like, just, you know, sitting down and saying, here's what happened, here are the results we got, this person had a similar list, you have a list like this, you should probably, based on these numbers, expect to do somewhere around this, maybe better, maybe worse. If you apply this method to markets outside of internet marketing, for, like, you know, how to teach your cat to tango, or whatever, folks, the people in these markets who you're approaching as joint venture partners, this stuff is like brand new, you know, eighth wonder of the world. They're like, wait a minute, you mean I can actually get, you know, money and I don't have to do anything except send an email? And other people have done this? This is absolutely amazing. You're the greatest person in the world. To a lot of markets besides ours, joint ventures are just totally unknown, unused. You can go in there, get joint venture partners, and be a total hero and just, you know, rock the house, for lack of a better phrase, which, again, goes back to the statement, the declaration that we've made earlier, which is internet marketing sucks. That is, to try to be someone that sells in this market if you're not already extremely established in it and have a lot to say. Go to another market where it's easy. Shoot the fighter planes while they're already on the ground, as Bill Myers would say.
Absolutely. So that's the JV thing in a nutshell. I mean, it's not rocket science. Pretty soon. Look, let me cover something in 2 minutes. We're running out of time here. Talk about building relationships and even doing JVs with people. You know, gave it the formula for doing one and then leveraging that into doing others. But, you know, if we were to put it in order, the, you know, least to worst, worst to least, whatever you want to call it, the best way to build relationships with people, you know, let's talk about that real quick, you know, because building relationships with people, it's the ultimate thing online, because you can leverage their list, their content, for free, that can make you money for your business. So the lowest common denominator, the worst possible way to get to know somebody and build a relationship is email. Don't just expect to email somebody, and even if you do send them a proposal, and necessarily expect, you know, most people to respond well to it. Email is very informal, it's very impersonal, it's not a good way to get to know somebody. The next one is this thing called the telephone. You know, a lot of people have ignored the phone, and everybody wants to just be anonymous and use email and not have to talk to anybody. But again, it comes down to people willing to do a little extra work. People that are willing to pick up the phone and do a little more than everybody else. Everybody wants autopilot riches on the internet. It's not all autopilot. People that make the big money put in work, or put in a little more work than everybody else. So call people on the phone. Look up, you know, do a whois on their domain name. Call them on the phone. Say, hey, I saw your site. We're in a similar market. You know, I have this product. You know, but often try to build relationships with people in your market even before you expect something of them, just to say hi or just to offer to promote their product, because they'll be more than likely to promote yours when it's time for you to launch your product. But again, getting back to what we were talking about, you know, seminars before, and the system seminar, which is just an awesome event, the best way really to build relationships with people fastest is meeting people in person. And that's why I go to internet marketing seminars, and it's because you'll find people there from all different niche markets, you know, having products in all different niche markets, not just the internet marketing market. And most internet marketers, you know, have a network of people, relationships that they do have in their market, and so you can use a relationship. It's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of thing, or 6 degrees or whatever that thing was called. You can build a relationship with one person and not only leverage their content and their lists, but also people they know, if you influence them and if they like you. So one of the best ways to build relationships is just to go meet, get out of the house, get off your butt, go meet people in person, and you'll build, you know, lifetime friendships. It's funny, that's how Frank and I met. We've become really good friends, and we've done a lot of business together and made each other a whole lot of money. And it was because we both met at an event in person. And could we have done the same amount of business if we just would have exchanged emails or got introduced and just talked on the phone? Maybe, but it's probably unlikely. You know, we wouldn't be as good of friends as we are today if we hadn't met in person, hung out in person, and, you know, laughed and had a good time together. Go to the system seminar. It's the best thing you'll ever do for your business, regardless of your market. Plus, you'll learn a lot of the advanced techniques and A to Z process for making all this work. Again, that's at the-system-seminar.com. It's Ken McCarthy's great event that's next month in San Francisco. And We don't make a dime by telling you to go there, but we believe that much in it. We're both going to be there just as guests. We're not even speaking. We're there as students to learn from other people that are going to be speaking there. So that's something I highly recommend. So build your relationships, and that's how you can have even faster success at doing JVs, is if you have an existing relationship. But if you don't, you can still, you know, try to leverage results of at least getting one relationship. So, but do those things, and let's go kind of rapid fire here. We're really running out of time.
Why don't we open it up, John?
Well, because there's still a few questions left. We only got like 2 minutes left, Frank, and I'm afraid we're just going to have to do another one of these sometime soon. Because I don't know, is the line going to cut off right at midnight?
It might. I really don't know. Actually, the truth is, I have no clue.
Well, we can try to keep going, but let me say this: since this is pretty much for sure going to be online before we get dumped, we have a request to make of everybody on the line. We're recording this call, and I know a lot of people are going to want this recording to actually listen to all the stuff we've covered for 4 hours. So, if anybody wants a recording of this call, you're going to need to, you can have it for free, but you're going to need to email us. Like, again, we don't know who is on this call. So I actually got word from my system administrator just now. He sent me a message that everything is cooled off with the email. So you can send emails right now, and it'll be okay. Same thing for that resources thing. Actually, you can do both of this in one shot. Send us an email and just say, was on the call, or just say, yeah, say on the call in the subject line or something like that. And send us an email, and that's the way we'll know you were even on the call. So if you're on the call, we appreciate it.